Hi, I'm Brad Swale, and you're listening to WTF at TFW.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vangelis here with your WTF at TFW dosage for this week. And we are running a little bit behind schedule. I'm sure you'll be wondering about at this point because as of this recording, I still haven't edited 153. Because we had hell of a technical difficulties during 153, and I didn't actually get the audio until about, I think I didn't have it on my computer until Monday. So technically, I'm not totally running behind my usual pace, but things did get a little bit messy there. On the bright side, if you're listening to this, you'll have noticed that you got bombarded with episodes, I believe, because you'll have been hit with 153 and a prime time. So there you go. It all balances out. Isn't that right? Aaron of the even team.
Sure. Whatever you got to tell yourself to sleep at night, man.
That's right. All balances out. The child was, you know, already falling down that cavern anyway. It wasn't up to me to grab his hand.
Yeah, but the little nudge that you gave him there probably didn't help.
There's no proof that I did that. I'm not supposed to say anything else. Also here with us today is Omega's Prime.
Yeah, and I still haven't seen the movie as of this recording.
Yep. You're the only one.
Every recording, only I feel one. More and more left out with each passing day.
But you know who did see the movie, who I didn't think was going to have seen the movie by now, is Lupus Convoy.
Hello.
I want to actually give you some congratulations that you did go out there to see the damn movie right away so you could have your opinion on it. Because I thought you were going to hold off for a while. I don't know.
I thought I was going to hold off too, but then I said, you know what, I'm going to go see this. And yeah, I wish I waited.
Get her done. No. What's the phrase? Get out there, get her done. You know, you gotta get over that hurdle.
You're not supposed to say that, no.
Oh.
You're higher than that.
I don't know. I think if you're in a Transformers fandom and you're going to eventually want to talk about, if you're going to talk about the movie, may as well see it sooner than later, because otherwise you're just going to hear the movie in piecemeal, and it'll just end up becoming frustrating. Isn't that right, Omegas?
My mom's in the hospital, you unsensitive prick.
Piecemeal. Anyway, what's going on? We're doing a podcast? Right. We're gonna speed along here because one of my goals today is I'm gonna once again try to get Lupus to get a listener question. So fingers crossed. Opening up,
let's see if it works out.
Transformers Collectors Club, Sideburn, you know, the free figure that we all have coming our way if we were a member right now, is delayed again. However, this time it is not due to the Transformers Collectors Club. The shipments of Sideburn have not yet cleared customs. I didn't know that U.S. Customs even stopped things, so that made me get a little bit worried. But they are going to just keep waiting for that. If they get any status updates, they're going to hopefully let us know. And they say that as soon as they mail them, they'll send out another email. So those of you wondering...
Notification was a non-status update?
That's right.
Nice.
They did not send out a status update. They sent out a notification. Aaron, how do you feel about this?
Blank happens. I don't know. I get it seems bombarded by their status updates for everything in the world, so getting an update that it's on hold. I don't know. It's one of those things where we argue for more transparency, and then they give us a whole lot of transparency, and there's a part of me that goes, so? Okay, it's in customs. Don't know when it's going to clear, but we'll let them know, and they'll go to the mailer. And it's like, okay. I appreciate that you're giving us the updates. I also kind of wonder why this is held up in customs and, like, none of the BotCon stuff was.
I'm guessing that's one reason why they decided to mention it, too, is because, you know, of all the figures to get stuck in customs, there's no like overt reason for Sideburn to get stuck other than someone just decided that that was going to be like, if your guys' customs works anything like Canada customs, someone decided they got to fill the quota and they pulled the next, you know, whatever shipment that came through.
Yeah, that was the 2000th package to cross that line. So it got stopped.
Yeah, exactly.
I just had thought in the past, they talked about always trying to lump all of their productions together for factory time.
Wasn't Sideburn delayed though? Like, wasn't he originally going to be something that might happen like before BotCon, but then got pushed back? Or am I thinking of something else?
I thought they announced that everything, Sideburn included, was all getting shipped to them at the same time for BotCon. Right.
That's what I thought was going on, and that's why the Cheetor and Ramjet got delayed the way that they did, because they were all being produced at the same time.
Yeah. Maybe Sideburn has some kind of chemical in his plastic for the blue that made U.S. Customs flip out. Do you guys have like a thing about blue down there, or
I don't know. If you've been on a farm or construction site 2 months before you go through some of those old detectors, it could kick off that you had explosives residue, and then they'd take your shoes and let you have them back just without the soles.
Oh dear.
That actually happened to my uncle, who had like a $200 pair of very fancy dress shoes, and they gave him his shoes back like a month later, except for it was only the uppers. It did not have the sole or anything. It
makes you wonder why they even send that part back then. It's just like, hey, by the way,
yeah.
We're a bunch of jerks and we want you to know it. Oh,
yeah, it's like a taunt.
Lupus, since you were at BotCon, that puts you in the running for a Sideburn, right?
Yep.
Do you feel...
I'm slightly inconvenienced. only because I'm moving in the next, like, 2 weeks. So I don't know when this is going to be sent out. If it's going to be sent out to the right house. If it's going to be lost in the mail through forwarding.
I would recommend emailing them earlier than later, just because this is not a knock on the TFCC, but I just tend to find that their system can sometimes, like, their system of communication can sometimes run a little bit wonky and a little bit lagged, and even if you wait till you move to tell them, by the way, I'm moving, I suspect it might not get into their system in time if everything lines up badly.
Yeah, if they're talking about sending things off to the shipper, I almost wonder if they don't have some third party
that service.
That they don't handle their shipping for stuff like that in-house.
I'm fairly sure they don't, because I believe that is supposed to be part of why the international packages cost more, is that they use a third-party shipper. But I'm really vaguely recalling from right off the top of my head. So, Omegas, how do you feel about Sideburn not coming out in a timely fashion?
It was kind of annoying since I did sign up last year after the Dion.
Oh, so you actually are a tail end Sideburn sign up then?
Yep. Yeah. Oh dear. I am due one Sideburn.
So you're waiting too.
I am waiting too. It's especially annoying since one of my favorite ones out of the BotCon 2010 set was the Skybite. I'm really looking forward to having a like companion piece for him.
Yeah. I hope that they get through customs fast then. I mean, it's odd, and I know, like, if your guys' customs anything like ours, they're not going to say why it was delayed. So it's going to be stuck a mystery.
It was delayed because it was delayed, and you'll like it like that.
And then we're going to charge you all a service fee as well, because we decided to be more like Canada Customs.
That would be interesting if that happened, that everybody, there's a 37-cent service fee for your share of the customs.
On that much stuff, customs would be a hell of a higher than that, I think, even when you divide it up. But again, your guys' customs always on mail always seems to be a lot friendlier than ours, despite cutting up shoes.
Personally, that's TSA, not customs.
Okay, it's okay.
Yeah. I've never had issues with customs before. I've gotten some pricey stuff in the mail, and they didn't do the, it's a $18 gift. Haha.
Yeah, I have to go through all that all the time, and then sometimes they pick out a certain package. You're like, what's in here? $80 of stuff? Here's a $45 charge on top, because we cut the box open, so we're going to charge you for that, because that That's for our scissors maintenance.
Yeah.
Except they call it a service fee because they're a bunch of punks. Anyway, let's get off this topic before I start ranting about Canada Customs.
Are you actually getting mail yet?
Oh, yes. Yeah, mail's resumed. Canada Post is back in action. So, you know, there's nothing else to worry about. It's just, I believe the borders are still catching up to that. So, I found out, for instance, from the Mega Gun Brown King review I did, apparently Captured Prey has revealed that however it is they ship stuff, that did not immediately catch up with Canada Post getting back in action, and the border was still saying you can only put stuff in here with the most highest price shipping right now. So there's probably, I don't know if it's all caught up yet, but there might be a bit of a lag time. By the time you hear this, surely Canada Post will be fully internationally linked once again. But that aside, let's do some new pick picks, because that doesn't involve customs. Unless it comes from Lupus. See, this I just thought of that just now, because Lupus tends to pick out customs from Radicons. So.
Oh.
You're telling me
some wordplay there.
Yeah.
That's
nice.
Some fancy pantsing. Lupus, do you have a custom to talk about, or do you just have a new pick you want to talk about?
Oh, no, I've got a custom. Ah! It's not going to be a popular custom.
Uh-oh, link us.
But, okay. So what's the one character that was one of the most despised of all beast machines?
The Oracle.
No, but yes, but no.
I was going to go with Megatron Zombie Body.
Ooh, that's a cool idea. But Botanica, the plant bot.
Oh yeah,
the one that was so left field that nobody really. I mean, people got death threats over her. So that's got to say something. When I was going through looking for something for tonight's show, I stumbled across Botanica, and I was like, hey, this is actually pretty decent looking.
This is Botanica with an alt mode based off of the Gotengo from Godzilla Final Wars, which means that she turns into a drill.
No, I think that's just the dude's signature or something.
Some kind of just random picture, though.
Yeah.
That's not an alt mode.
Oh.
Yeah.
It has a spaceship alt mode.
I was like, why is there a drill among all these thumbnails? And okay, I see the alt modes. No, that's a picture of the actual Gotengo, but there is a drill mode as well. There's a drill on the front. Scroll down to spaceship mode. There's a drill on the front.
Oh, second post. Oh. Okay. Yeah.
And there's a flower mode!
There's a lot of pictures.
That's really cool.
And that's why I love it.
Okay.
That flower mode is genius.
Now you've sold
it. It's such a bizarre, out there custom. I love it. And I always liked the concept of a plant transformer. So I saw this and was like, oh my god, this is awesome. I gotta share it.
It's so weird, but kind of works in a few. Like, it's as Botanica, I would perhaps say it doesn't really feel overtly Botanica in robot mode. But I mean, that aside, it is just as a really weird transformer that turns into a flower and a drill-tipped spaceship. I think it is really cool.
and a drill tank for sowing seeds.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
That flower mode is awesome. That's a great. I mean, if you stare at it too long, you might see some weaknesses. But I think that's a great topper for this.
Plus, it just plugs into that rock base. It's great.
Yeah. Now, this is really cool. Now, great idea.
Yeah. My hat is definitely off to the creativity of Alpha Magnus this week.
High fives to Alpha Magnus, all caps in one word. That's my high five. That's super cool. I'm going to keep that open. Thank you for sharing. You're only one person. Champion of the... Lupus Convoy, champions of the Radicons. Champions of the Radicon.
There we go.
Yeah. Thank you. Aaron, how about you? Do you have a new pick you'd like to pick out?
One that I didn't think was going to happen. Encore Devastator.
That's been that's kind of just been a rumor that is always brought up because everyone wants to have a cheap way to buy a Devastator.
Yeah, it completely caught me off guard, the fact that they'd be doing that. I'm probably not going to buy it because it's supposed to be stupid expensive, isn't it?
I think I saw a yen price, but I don't remember what it was. Was it?
Hold on, I'm loading up the... That can't be.
And the question is, do you think eHobby is going to grab onto this and just put out a G2 version, or are they going to go something crazier? Like, do
okay, toysrus.co.jp is saying 8,500 yen.
That's, I mean, after shipping, that'll easily be
MSRP of 10,500 yen.
Oh!
So,
that yeah.
Maybe that's like their sales price. No, they say we should, but we're sticking it to the man.
Regardless, that Devastator will cost you at least 100 bucks probably shipped, yeah. If not more, like 120.
And for Devastator,
Yeah, I mean, if it's the green one and they even put diecast into it, I can see the value there because, as far as I understand it, getting a G1 green Devastator with diecast bits can add up pretty fast.
I don't know how much diecast he really had. They had, like, the chests.
Yeah, like all the robots.
Yeah, the little chests and the hinges and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like there's no, like, magic diecast fairy that's going to make that toy great.
Oh, well, no, but I think this is more of a case of desirability for, like, just there is, as far as I know, aside from knockoffs, there's never really been, like, an easy way to just buy a Devastator.
Right. Well, yeah, but those knockoffs were not, there were some that were not bad.
No, as far as I understand, there's a good one.
And they were, like, $12.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it just is very surprising because I thought that was one of those that was lost to time.
That might be why it cost so much. They might have had to back-engineer the mold. Like, back when they did Soundwave.
Yeah.
As far as I know, they did, because I thought Devastator was reported as one of the molds that got lost.
Hmm.
But, doesn't surprise me that would be one that they would go back and reverse-engineer, but...
Yeah.
Like I said, just caught me off guard that they were doing that because so many other things that you could do. But at the same time, it's not been done before. So, you know, it's not like how we get a G1 Prime every 2 years.
No, it's definitely more interesting than revisiting stuff that they already have molds for. And I'm actually okay with the price, especially if it has been back engineered, because I'm like, that's the price we're going to have to pay. But then eventually... That could lead to some cool stuff, because it means the mold is now there. And who knows, maybe that'll be a San Diego Comic-Con reissue sometime.
I don't know how he would do with Modern Toy Laws.
Well, I suppose. I'm just thinking back to when they got their money's worth out of the Soundwave mold by bringing it out over here, then at SDCC. So I'm thinking, that's one reason why they might have gone through with back-engineering him, is to do something with him domestically.
Yeah.
And Devastator did exist in G2, and I want to say that G2 was from an era of toy laws that was a lot more strict than, like a few years before when G2 came out.
I think G2 was right on the cusp.
Yeah.
I want to say.
So I don't know, I mean, I just think that might be a chance of something that might happen, just because that... It lines up with the pattern from when Soundwave was done, and I'm sure that San Diego Comic-Con would be a good draw for a G1 Devastator. Like, that's certainly a place where people will see it and go like, dude, Devastator! And, you know, get all dude bro sound tape and buy it twice. if they do it, like, Aaron, you sound like you're probably not all that into picking it up when it comes out. But
I don't know. That's something that might be like a convention pickup, but that's not something that I'm sitting there going over. But now, if it was a Scramble City setup, maybe a little bit more because there's more interoperability. But I don't know. Yeah. Devastator never really got me excited as a toy.
Hmm. Well, let's ask the other dudes though. Like Lupus, would you pick up Devastator for $100 as a reissue?
Maybe. I think that would definitely be a con purchase.
Okay.
But if they release a G2 version, oh hell yeah.
Which color though? Because there were two of them.
You know, I had the yellow version, and I had some of the orange. So if they went with the generic yellow, I'd probably pick it up.
Yellow one was always my Devastator, actually. So
yeah, it was one of those, like, I was old enough that I could earn the money doing chores to go down and pick up, like, one piece every couple of days.
Yeah.
So there's more of an emotional combination with that.
And Omegas, what do you think about a $100 Devastator reissue? Just that's if you get it for a really good price, I think. More like $120.
Well, I'm in a slightly different position because I still have my G2 Devastator.
I do too. But what if it's green?
See, this will depend on what Encore style upgrades they give it.
Yeah.
If they are going to restore diecast or give Tampo, applications to it.
I think Tampo applications would sell me, actually. Like, if they Tampo everything on it.
Yeah, that'd go a long way. Because if memory serves, that's one that has bad sticker wear issues, isn't
it? He has hell of a stickers, and yeah, a lot of them are... I think that he has a lot of common sticker wear points, so tampoing stuff on him would really attract me, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, especially, he's got a lot of those stickers, like, I can never remember, the one that forms the left arms, it's either Scrap or Bone Crusher, I can never remember.
It's stickers, they're stickers that are fine on the robots, but when you start plugging everything together, they get rubbed on really hard, I think.
Yeah.
Or they can be rubbed on.
There's some that get rubbed really hard, there's some that are, like, on the bottom of the scoops, and they form the robot chest, so they get scratched up pretty easily.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. There's a novelty to having the original Devastator because that's where Combiner started and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'd have to see how good it came out because I heard Bruticus had some quality issues.
Well, I've got an idea for an eHobby repaint that could be kind of interesting, and it seems like something that eHobby might do. I'm curious if this would interest any of you guys. What if they take G1 Devastator and then repaint him using Movie Devastator as a template? Like, those colors.
It looks like a knockoff.
I guess, but it would be in line with the... I want to say that, like, what was it? The pre-Transformers version of Devastator. Wasn't there a version of that was multicolored? Looked like more than just green?
I want to say the original release was a multicolored.
Not in Transformers, but in whichever pre-Transformers line it was in. I forgot if it was Microchange or Diaclone. But I'm just thinking, like...
And this is why you shouldn't pack your books.
I'm just thinking, like, they did this with Skids when they did the Skids and Mudflap movie twins repaint of the Skids mold. And it could be a neat way to get a new color scheme out of Devastator that might be kind of interesting. And then, like, paint up his head to have, like... A translucent green inner glow effect, like give it a neon green wash on black, or like the glowing mouth thing. I don't know. It could be interesting. Mm-hmm. It would be a little bit more interesting than following. And I'd like it if they did the G2 colors as well, but that also is kind of predictable. So like to do something like that would be a little bit more like, oh hey, eHobby, you're still crazy. I love you guys.
I believe the Diaclone version was yellow and red.
There we go.
Orange,
that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, I think so. Yellow and orange. 3 and 3.
Because there's also the knockoff that introduces like green and blue, which is what I was immediately thinking of. But
there's knockoffs that include purple and black.
Yeah. I was very grateful that the knockoff I got was correctly colored.
Yeah. All that aside, I mean, we'll see when he comes out, you know, how he'll be packaged, how he'll be tampoed up if he is. But moving along, Omegas, do you have a new pick you'd like to pick out?
Yes, I forgot it was my turn.
Oh, dear.
No, I have... It's like, I loaded up like 7 different stories to pick from.
There's one right here. There's one right here that I thought you were going to pick out.
There's an obvious one, but there's absolutely nothing to it.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I know exactly which one you're talking about. There's nothing really to say because it's just the Robot Masters version, badly photoshopped.
Oh. Yeah, that's the third party Victory Saber that we know nothing about.
I'm actually looking at this big picture set of the upcoming not Dinobots from TFC.
Yeah, TFC's doing some a whole bunch of stuff that just looks like original designs, because, I mean, they're being called the not Dinobots, but, you know, there was a story before that with some rescue vehicles that turned out to be tied into a Chinese cartoon, and I'm pretty sure those Dinobots are not, I don't really think they're meant to be the Dinobots, especially with the coloring in those pictures. Like, they're dinosaur robots more so, but they look cool.
Yeah, they look really nice. And, you know, they don't have the stylings of some of, with the exception of not Swoop, who I don't think you could do a whole lot different anyway.
Yeah.
But you could definitely tell there's a little bit of Dinobot inspiration. It's using the same dinosaurs, even the ones that we know no longer exist. rather the ones that never existed. Let's put it that way so I don't sound like an idiot.
No, someone went back in time and retconned the dinosaurs.
The Brontosaurus is back.
Do you think that if they're priced maybe around $100, you might pick them up?
That is hard, given the fact that this is TFC and we know the price range of not Devastator.
That's true, but I'm thinking that they're probably not going to try to go for 6 Voyager-sized toys on these little combiners. Like, these look a lot more like, I don't want to drop a price point, but they look a lot smaller.
Yeah, I'm kind of concerned about how exactly these are going to combine, because they've got all these CAD drawings of how they might go.
Yeah.
Or it even I don't know what to make of some of them. Some of it looks like they're combined with a truck figure, which I'm not sure what to make of.
Well, that sounds like it. I haven't looked at the pictures, but that sounds reminiscent of the other set of CAD pictures they released for that cartoon with the rescue vehicles. There was like a truck
In either case, the pictures they have right now, they make these things look incredibly bulky and cumbersome to combine together. Like, I'm not quite sure where these really fat, wide dinosaurs are going to go for legs when, you know, they've got legs that are obviously getting in the way.
I don't know. It's kind of tricky. I'm just trying to see if I can pull up links here as well, because somebody has requested links who's on the call who would like to know what we're talking about, because we're not making any sense. If you click on third party, it's actually right underneath it.
Helpful.
Like, if you click on third party news, not Dinobots, and then the StarCat rescue team is right beneath it, which is confirmed not Transformers in any way, aside from just looking very Transformers-y because it's a bunch of vehicles. But I want to see how this turns out, because TFC does some pretty good work, and they are seeming to kind of hedge a lot of their bets in on this Hercules Devastator thing. I haven't heard much news about their reflector since X-Graver came up for pre-order. So
yeah, kind of faded out.
I hope that they're still doing something with it. Oh, wait, there's an update I didn't see on the news store for the Not Dinobots. They are supposed to be Dinobots combining into The Beast.
The Beast.
The Beast is from a comic book that is apparently not very good.
Yeah, it looks a lot better than The Beast.
Yeah,
because The Beast wasn't great.
I heard The Beast was pretty dire. But yeah, that's pretty cool. I have my own third-party thing I want to bring up. Just 2 little ones. First one, there's something called X-Transbots, which apparently is a bunch of Jizai toy designs getting done by a third party, which might be Jizai, but it also might be some company who just bought Jizai's kits and then made molds based off of them. We're not really sure yet. So that's kind of interesting.
I will applaud the chrome-plated balls on that company, because there are so many trademarked and licensed names and logos all over those boxes.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what they're thinking of doing here. Like, I don't know. I need to know more details about this before I can even say something.
But we'll mention on the podcast that we need to know a whole lot more before we mention it.
That's right.
The pod.
Before we bring it up in deeper detail on this podcast, we've got to know more details about the details before we can, in a detailed fashion, detail the details. But the main thing I want to bring up is that Fans Project has relaunched their website as Fans Project Core, where you can now sign up to become a member of the website, and when you do so, you choose one of three factions: the Alpha Core, the Beta Exodus, or the Crystallon Horde. And that will apparently directly affect one or more of their upcoming products, but they haven't said how. There's also something on the site for tracking crystals. And as far as I know, nobody knows how to get crystals yet, but they may be something like robot points. Generally, the whole purpose of the site is Fans Project is trying to create some kind of sense of community about their releases and the people who buy them. So I think it's kind of cool. I signed up on there and I said hello in a news post. The other big news out of that, though, is that they've put up release dates for the Causality Insect Ninjas. So their release dates are set for the final day of the month of June, July, and August, which means that one of them came out today.
Yeah.
Which I think means it's probably shipping to retailers today. But I think it's pretty cool. It's a nice-looking site. It has a product catalog on it. It's definitely feels a lot more alive than their original fansproject.com site, which felt kind of just like a blog that was not very easy to sift through. So I'm kind of digging it. If you guys sign up on that site, what do you think? Are you going to be Alpha Core, Beta Exodus, or Crystallon Horde? There's descriptions as to what this means when you sign up. But...
So who has? Besides Vangelis and me.
Well, I signed up as Beta Exodus because I'm swift and silent.
You are not silent.
I'm swift and silent. I don't know if you know this, son, but I'm Asian and we invented ninjas, so...
Yes, you may have invented ninjas, but you ain't.
I am such a ninja. I'm a sound ninja. I make noise everywhere.
I thought you were German, though.
I'm half German and half Chinese.
So what does ninjas have to do with you?
Because China invented ninjas. Shut up.
Hell.
Anyway, Fans Project site's relaunched. Check it out. It's pretty cool. They're probably going to post a bunch of info on there, and crystals are intriguing. Coming up next, we've got just a bit of news about comic books. I'm going to open up by saying I am months behind on my comic books again. So, my apologies for that. Which is always kind of in tandem with whenever we hit a big break on book club. It also kind of kills my enthusiasm for continuing to read books. So, usually when we try to do a book club again, that's when I buy all the books I missed and then start reading them en masse. But they're building to a big event called Chaos right now, and after that's done, they're going to relaunch Transformers again with two different titles.
Relaunch and revamp so that we can catch readers that we lost with our last relaunch and revamp. Sorry,
yeah,
I'm away from the microphone because my eyes are rolling all the way back in my head.
I assumed that they would be, Aaron, because mine kind of did too. Now, I'm not going to drop any judgments on the quality of IDW right now because I am a good 3 months behind, I think, at this point on reading it. But it is specified that apparently there is a universe reason for why there is going to be a split in the title. Apparently a big status quo rocker that will shake things up to a big degree. However, on a more objective level that is a little bit less related to the plot of the comic books, when you run an ongoing that is not called Transformers issue number X, it becomes confusing for people to follow, no matter what you do. And if you're going to run a pair of simultaneous ongoings that directly relate to each other, there's a huge number of things that can go wrong here. Number one, it could become very confusing to keep up with. Number two, you've got to have enough writers and artists to maintain two monthly books. And sometimes it seems like the Transformers comic book creation scene hits little lulls here and there where they can't necessarily get all the resources together for whatever reason down at IDW. And, you know, someone made the very good point. It's going to suck if one of these books ends up looking like Heart of Darkness while the other one ends up looking like the ongoing. And, you know, I've read half of Heart of Darkness and I actually kind of dig it. Like, it's kind of fun to read for me.
You read two issues too many then.
I don't mind Heart of Darkness, but the artwork is... I don't mind it that much. I'm talking about more so the storyline, though. The artwork is real janked. but
yeah, I've been, I actually, while we've been sitting here, I've been looking at Ulysses Farinus's personal site, and I don't know art, but I know what I like, and none of it was there.
That's the thing, is I was looking at his art, and my initial reaction to his art was, what am I looking at? This looks horrible. And then I stopped, and I went like, all right, let me just put myself out of myself for a second. Let me look at this art again. And I was like, I see semblances of what is the intent here. I could see the artistic intent now. However, without a really amazing coloring job, this art will come off as really amateurish, I believe. And
look at that Galvatron.
I know.
I just linked. No.
And here's the thing. This is Heart of Darkness.
As now, I make hand pointy gesture at picture that only three other people can see. It's
this,
like
this is
the
Heart
page
of Darkness
Galvatron two.
We're looking at. And here's my, yeah. Here's the thing.
Is this
I
the
look
same
at
artist
art.
That did the stuff for the Tupac?
No. Tupac
was
Boo?
Yeah, that was Boo on a bad day. This is
Ulysses Farinus, I think.
And here's the thing. I look at Farinus. Ulysses' art here, and I see bits and pieces of stuff that I can kind of go like, you know, in black and white, I can see this becoming something a little bit better. But it is entirely not helped by the fact that it is colored in solids and gradients. And that is it. Like, look at the purple. Look at the purple on that Galvatron. It's just gradients. And all that does is... It makes it look even worse, I think. And I think that Ulysses' art might work with a really good coloring job. Might work if it got looked at a little
flats.
Bit more. Yeah. That's the biggest problem I have with Heart of Darkness is it's colored. It feels like it's colored in flats and gradients, and it comes off like a high quality fanfic rather than a produced book.
And the fact that you get the, and it's something that's always bothered me in comic book art, is you have the contrasting big flat spaces and then super detailed spaces.
Yes.
So that same Galvatron, if you have the book, it's the second or third page of the book, where he has these two really big flat chest panels, and then you look at his elbow, and he has all this meticulous, mech'd out detail of what look like gears and pins and rotors.
Yeah.
And then you have a derpy face with teeth, and you have a goatee that looks like it's three pieces of chain, but then it's big flat, then a bunch of little mech. It's a disconcerting style, and it's not helped
in any way by the coloring.
The
actual Galvatron design, when I looked at it in enough pictures and I pieced it together in my head, I kind of like the design in the way that you do not see it in this picture that you linked, but those up curving parts in his chest plates are actually more like the front of medieval knight armor, kind of like coming up over part of the face, which I'm okay with. But what I'm getting at is, if they're going to run simultaneous books, someone in the thread made the very good point that, you know, to get simultaneous monthlies running, one of them might end up looking like this. And it doesn't mean that it will end up looking like this, because there are a lot of artists out there. And
they have,
you know,
so many good artists.
And I want to think that Heart of Darkness turned out like this more so because it's a book happening while multiple other books, including movie books, are happening. But I'm not pessimistic about splitting the Transformers books, but I see so many things that could go wrong if not enough care is taken. And I unfortunately feel like it's not impossible for not enough care to be taken in doing this. And I don't know. I want it to turn out well, but I'm worried. Aaron, you sound like you're a whole lot more pessimistic than I am.
I think that they gave this artist a chance based on something.
Well, do we even know if this artist is working on one of those ongoings? Like, I don't want to start a hoax or anything.
We don't. I don't think we do.
Okay, because I
those artists are. But
I'll make an educated guess that Ulysses probably won't be working on one of those two ongoings.
I don't think so either, but it's one of those things that I maybe question who's looking at everything, because just looking at his personal site and seeing the art that's up there, none of that seems like that's even... IDW, I guess, doesn't have a house style the way that Dreamwave did.
No, and I've always said that's for the better, really, but...
That is for the better, but still at the same time, you gotta... say, you know, look, okay, the theme or the feel of our overall Transformers line is kind of X, so can you draw it more like X? Then he had some art in there that I will say it was like Minimates slash Lego looking Star Trek guys. Mm-hmm. And that didn't look so bad as that theme, because that can take big open flat surfaces one colored.
Yeah, yeah, and but there have been parts of Heart of Darkness that I think Heart of Darkness, its problem is that you get pages that look like what you linked, and then you get pages that don't look good, but they look better than what you linked. And it's just this real wonky kind of cobbled together thing where it's like, you know, he can draw better from some angles than other angles. He's like, it just feels really ununified. And like I said, it doesn't help that the coloring is so, it's like, cause Ulysses Transformer faces, his Transformer faces are real puffy and they have real big, you know, googly eyes. And it doesn't help that the googly eyes are often colored as huge blazing lights. So these just look like doofy, like, boop, doop, beep, boop, I'm a robot kind of robots. And you're like, oh, man. And it's Galvatron.
Yeah. And Galvatron, that was the biggest thing that got me with Galvatron, is Galvatron's supposed to be, I don't know, I say supposed to be, but... He's supposed to be a serious looking, at least. Maybe doesn't have to be like the frothing at the mouth crazy guy, but he's not somebody that messes around. And this guy just looks like he's, hey guys, how's it going?
Yeah, and it's a bummer because I like the concept of Heart of Darkness's story. It's going places I like. I like how when you peel away some of the weaker layers of actual written lines, I like the core of the characters of Galvatron, Cyclonus, and Scourge that they made in this.
Yeah,
but. It's a hard series to say you're reading with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
And I really want
to. More like you're doing your time.
Like, I'm not going to put it down there with Nefarious. I think Nefarious is still by far the worst thing to ever come out of IDW that I can recall. Because that was just cartoonily awful, and it introduced us to one of the worst movie artists for the movie bots we've ever had. But... That all aside, Lupus, I forgot how much you've kept up with Transformer comics in the last while.
I think the most Transformers comic stuff that I've dealt with is being at the tail end of the panel at BotCon, and that made me go, ugh.
You mean the part where they went like, so does anyone really want to see animated? Then a million hands went up? And,
Yeah, wrong place to ask that question there, guys.
Yeah, if they bring back animated, then I'll start caring about Transformers comics again.
I never actually kept up with what happened at that panel, but I'm assuming they did a whole bunch of talk about what Chaos is and whatever.
Yeah, and I completely tuned it out because I didn't care.
But
as soon as somebody said animated, I was like, oh, okay, now I can start paying attention to
you guys
comics
doing animated? Oh, no, wait, you're trying to bash animated happening as a comic. Oh, and look, you totally got it flipped over. What's up?
Yeah.
Omegas, what about you? Have you been keeping up with the books very much?
Unfortunately, not as much as I should be. I really don't get around to
again, you say
comics
unfortunately.
There's some
right
good
now,
stuff
I'd
in
say
there.
You're fortunate.
There's some good
I
stuff
I would
in
like
there.
To at least be informed.
Ongoing got a lot... Like, I never had as huge problems with Ongoing as other people had, but it did get better, especially when they brought Megatron
back
in. It
did, and then
in.
They did this Chaos thing.
That's the thing, is I haven't hit the point where Chaos has entered in yet, and I'm not sure what effect it has on what's been going on. But I don't know, so you guys aren't really in a position for it, but just with a monthly Transformers book, would you guys find it easier to keep up with a book called Transformers issue number X or having to follow Transformers colon something titles? Like, I don't know. Lupus, would you prefer a single ongoing or what's your perspective on splitting the ongoing into two titles? Like, do you think that can work or?
It could shoot him in the foot, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I have no problem with multiple titles in the same pseudo-genre. Like, I read all the different Green Lantern Corps, so I have no problem with that. But,
yeah.
I think if it was... I think it probably would help if it was all just one title.
Mm-hmm.
But do we really need to have multiple titles for Transformers?
Yeah, that's my question. And I mean, they say that this is based on an event that happened, so I'm not educated enough to drop a definitive opinion, but Omegas, what about you? Like, what do you think about splitting the ongoing into two titles?
Honestly, I would much rather they just stick to one title to make sure it's as strong as it could possibly be. Mm. I mean, you do have problems resulting in multiple issues spanning out. I mean, when you have two completely different stories you have to follow at the same time in order to make sure you know what's going on in this universe, not only is a lot more money down the drain, for, especially if it ends up being a bad story, but it just makes the plots a lot more confusing and convoluted than they have to be. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you do end up with inconsistencies like the bloated Galvatron here.
Yeah, and I'm going to say again, this is from back when they were doing the Asian series. What if they're going to do this, what they should do is just continue an ongoing Transformers book, release two issues every month, still numerically in line, and then on the cover say, like, this is Transformers issue 70, Autobots Part 1, issue 71, Decepticons Part 1, issue 72, Autobots Part 2, you know, like, do it like that so that the core of the order of your books is still in one line.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's where something where I think I'm grateful that I have a good comic book shop.
Yeah.
That will help out with that sort of thing. Cause I have some Marvel titles that I follow. And then it's like, well, this is talking about, you know, Fear Itself. What do I need to read for Fear Itself? And he's like, oh, okay, well, you need to read this one and this one. These, they've got it on the title, but it doesn't really deal with it. So read this book and this book and this book. And then, okay, you're pulling Iron Man, so you'll want this one for sure. And so if you get a good shop that knows your likes and dislikes, it makes life a whole lot easier.
Yeah. So we'll see where this goes. Like I said, I am shooting kind of in the breeze here, and I'm looking at this more from an objective buyer business perspective than how this relates to what's going on in the books right now. It's just, given IDW's history with how they release these books, it does get me a little bit worried. I'm going to mix things up here a little bit just so that we can get Lupus in on something that I know he has never done before.
Uh-oh.
That's right. Hazing ritual time. No, I'm just kidding.
What makes you think I haven't drawn one of those?
I don't want to make snap judgments, but I'm going to play us a voicemail listener question. So,
what?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wait, what?
And this play is live for you guys. Now, the only thing is that the way I play this is you guys are going to hear yourselves whenever you talk, if you say anything during the voicemail, but if you want to say something, feel free, because I'm going to put in the voicemail itself as an MP3 in the actual podcast. But we have us a voicemail here from Alan Garu, who sent this in on February 26th of this year. And let me just line this up in VLC. And here is Alan Garu's voicemail.
Hello, this is Alan Garu from the WTF Boards. First of all, I'd like to say, Vangelis, yes, you are supposed to repeat the same way each time because otherwise people get confused. Also, it is RIGAMAROLE. Finally, I'd like to say that I just finished listening to episode 135, and I found it odd how you were sort of trailing off at the end. Frankly, I think that 3 hours might just be too long for a podcast, or at least you might want to drink more caffeine. Well, essentially that's it. But also, curse you for having United Lugnut and more Scourge, please. Thank you, and goodbye.
Have we got more Scourge yet? At this point, in the past couple months leading up to when this was asked, like, have we got some more Scourge?
I think we're working on it, but
all right,
nothing official.
As for trailing off near the end, it does happen, but I'm always working on energizing myself up a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know who trails off at the end though? Aaron dies by the end of some of these podcasts. You should hear him after we push stop.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, sometimes we push stop and Aaron's like, all right, so get this in the morning. And then he just kind of walks off. It's amazing. But I'm not exactly sure if that was a full-on question or if that was just a voicemail in terms of a general voicemail. I missed if there was a question in there.
Did I trail off during 135? Do I have to apologize for something?
You weren't in 135.
Yeah, I should hope that you didn't trail off in 135.
Okay, just making
what
sure.
What kind of number is 5?
I don't know anymore. This is my fourth podcast in 3 days.
That's all right. Puts hair on your arms. I don't know. But thank you for the voicemail, Alan Garu. We've got one more here, sent in on the same day with no name given. That's mysterious, isn't it?
Ooh.
By the way, how are you guys enjoying this voicemail technology? Are you able to hear them when I'm playing them?
Yeah, it was kind of shaky there. I don't know if that was the voicemail or...
That I think was in the recording.
Linking technology.
It's a Google Voice account, so maybe if that was called into on a cell phone, there might have been some poor reception. But let's try this one out. I haven't listened to any of these, by the way, before we ran these. So this is from No Name Given on February 26, 2011. Let's give this a shot. Load this into the VLC.
Hey, what's up, WTF crew? So I was wondering that now that they've got the full series of Prime running, what character would you like to see in the show and possibly even made into a toy since they've got a full toy line going? Thanks for the great podcast, and if this could be answered by both crews, it'd be pretty sweet. So thanks, guys. Bye.
Oh, I was waiting for the click. There was no click. Oh. Our first voicemail we got ended with a real awesome, like, landline-style click at the end. And I've been waiting for one of those ever since. Arachnid. Aaron.
Arachnid's already in the show. I think he was asking for somebody.
More Arachnid! Alan yep. Garou said we need more Scourge. Back in February, we got more Scourge. Now, we need more Arachnid. Listen to Primetime. You'll know why. I don't know. Aaron, who would you like to see in the show and get a toy?
I'd like to see more of... more Decepticons. Maybe some Seekers. Something along those lines, other than just the clone, the Jet Erraticons. Maybe have a storyline to go for our crazy thing. A storyline where one of the Jet Erraticons actually earns a name.
Oh, and then they call him, like, Thundercracker.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Where it's not just, like, Dude Man shows up, like many of the new character shows end up being, but... Yeah. Like an earning of a name, because it seems like those clones just hang out those blanks or whatever.
It'd be nice to see what they're striving for. Like
again,
as motivation.
Gym and accounting. I'd like to see the gym and accounting episode.
Yes. Lupus, I'm not sure how much you've been keeping up with Prime since I spent a while going like watch more.
Now.
After which episode?
I made it to episode 6.
Yay!
Or is it 7?
You have to get to an Arachnid episode. It's Zoe.
I know.
It's evil Zoe.
Oh, wasn't that Cleopatra 2525?
Maybe.
Anyway.
Yeah, she's in that too.
This is evil predatory Zoe, who's like creepy and stuff. And okay, last episode was evil Zoe. The episode before that was evil Jane.
Wait, Jane's always evil.
More evil.
No, Jane's not always evil. He's just not always good.
What is going on here?
You're surrounded by Firefly fans, Omegas.
Yeah, you're surrounded by brown coats. Be careful.
It's 2011. You've got to see the show at some point.
I don't have to.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do.
Because then I can do things that make me. I can do things that make me feel awesome, like just say "Evil Zoe" and have people know what I'm talking about. But Lupus, who would you like to see in Prime?
Spring.
Well, I would too.
I just had to steal your thunder with that.
No, I don't. I didn't. My thunder was just Arachnid over and over again. Because I'm not going to spoil this for you. But Evil Zoe is kind of awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, you've got a ways to go.
Hopefully, we'll get a toy of her.
Oh, we better get a damn toy of her. Omegas, who would you like to see in Prime?
I'm always a favor of bringing back Blitzwing.
That would be cool.
Yeah, not only because I want to see him actually, how he would work as a triple changer in the Prime continuity, but just, I was always upset that, he didn't get a proper run in his, in G1.
Yeah.
Where Octane, they were selling Octane that year, so let's sideline Blitzwing and stick Octane in that same storyline.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing with so much of G1, how many characters actually got it. If they didn't get, like, a title show, then they were an also starring at best.
Octane really lucked out, didn't he? Like, he got a couple episodes of development, and he actually had a bit of layering to his character.
Yeah. Well, the way you could see the way they kind of developed it out, where, okay, Blitzwing, you know, turns against the Decepticons but doesn't join the Autobots. And then all of a sudden you have a different triple changer that is now kind of incorporating himself as this, you know, outside party, you know, not only palling around with some other, you know, outside Autobots and such, but making his own schemes up, you know, manipulating Trypticon, etc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could tell, like, he came out completely out of nowhere. So it always seemed like, okay, this was Blitzwing's storyline before someone in accounting upended that, which means Blitzwing is like off writing a novel somewhere on some outskirt of Cybertron.
All about his exploits and how he left them all behind for greener pastures. Okay, well, I hope that answered your question. No name given. That's our voicemail segment for this week. I hope that went well. let's go into what we got this week. I want to do this. Let's talk about what Transformers we got this week. Lupus, what Transformers have you got?
Oh. Well, I will say that I got Monsieur Grappel.
Hey!
Which was an awesome birthday gift. And the Transformers Arc novel. Or not novel. Resource book, I guess?
Oh, is that the... Is it the Vault or the Arc?
The Vault. Sorry.
Yeah, the new one's the Vault. So, there was an arc, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. Okay. Just confusing stuff. I'm sure the guys from the TF Wiki are like screaming at their iPods right now.
They don't listen to the... I'm just kidding. I love you, Hooper. Don't worry about it.
But, yeah, that's it. Maybe in a couple weeks I'll have some Dark of the Moon toys. That's only because the movie was so awesome.
Oh, you're going to buy some Dark of the Moon toys?
Maybe, but it won't be because of you guys.
There you go. I'm taking credit for it anyway.
No, I think I'd rather give you credit than Michael Bay.
Well, I got to ask. All right.
I'm telling you, though, I feel I should get a decent amount of this credit, not that I'm trying to get credit here. For Guzzler. The start of the break of the wall.
Because of Guzzle?
And showing you Guzzle. You're like, no, there's no toy that could pop. Guzzle. What?
Lupus, I have to ask. What? You don't have to drop any spoilers about the movie or anything. Just tell me, after you saw the movie, what was the first toy that you decided that you actually want to get after stepping out of the movie?
I don't know.
Oh, dear.
Shockwave?
Ah, that's a good toy. All right.
That's
Are you expecting
toy.
Maybe a Power Glide or Ice Pick?
I was expecting, because Ice Pick has such a huge role in the movie. You know, we can't tell that to Omegas.
Wait,
what are you talking about?
You just want to pilots. I just want a Laserbeak toy.
I didn't see the Arctic scene in the trailer.
I really want Laserbeak now after seeing the movie.
Yeah,
twice.
Yes, I'm glad I have him, and like I said before, I have put him someplace that he can't get out of.
Yeah,
he's a damn ugly bird too.
I know, but after seeing the movie, I'm okay with it because it. The way that Laserbeak was portrayed, which I will not speak of, worked really well for that design, I think. Anyway, let's move along. Aaron, what Transformers did you get this week?
So, first off, I have to go back. I forgot one from my BotCon haul, and I don't know how I forgot it, because I'd kind of talked about it before. Mm-hmm. I don't believe I talked about picking up the Scouting Force X.
No, you didn't. I want to know what you think of them.
Yeah. I like them. I'm glad I picked him up. It's still at, I think I got it for 80 or 85.
That's a good price.
Still seems like a bit much because they are three of the small the small size dudes, but all the accessories and the fact that the accessories can do two or three things by themselves on top of becoming all the camera parts is pretty neat.
Have you built the camera mode yet? I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
At this point, but
yeah, I've gone through it.
How dense is that camera mode? Like, it's nothing but parts.
Yeah. The parts and pieces. Turns out real nice. He's a little bit loose, and I'll also have the issue of for the three rifles to go into the camera, there's one way that it fits best and two ways that it's kind of umphy.
Yeah.
I can get it all to close up, but it as soon as I open anything or touch that the wrong way, all of a sudden it just kind of pops open and there are pieces going everywhere. So
yeah.
So I've heard it seems like it's about a 50-50 split between people that have three that work just fine and one that's got the right spot.
Yeah, I've got one that is really not working fine. It's got like a real crooked hole in the front.
I don't even know if it's what it is because I can put all three of them in there and it will close up. And it's not like I'm getting conflict. It's just
try the sniper process.
It's a little bit loose.
Try the sniper scope in each one and see if it goes in straight on all of them.
Okay,
that's what I did to test.
But so I got that. And still haven't gotten out to Mom's to show her the super awesome thing that she picked me up at BotCon. Since that was the money for that one came from there. Got in the mail Cheetor and G2 Ramjet.
Oh,
hey.
Cheetor so needs... I need to actually pick up a Gundam marker.
Yeah, I heard from GMFan 101 that Cheetor looks... I haven't looked at the pictures yet because I was on my phone when he linked them to me, but if you just run over his entire face with a liner marker, it looks a million times better.
Yeah, looking at his pictures, it looks so much better. I don't know, because Derek's art showed lines, and without them, it makes Cheetor look like he's got a whole lot of derp in his face.
Yeah.
But... He's that blur mold, and the body's spots are more mechanical. They're more like hexes.
Oh, cool.
And then the alt modes are the wild spots. So it's closer. I still think it would look better with the hexes on the car.
Yeah.
G2 Ramjet. It's the same Seeker mold. I realized I have three of them on my three Seeker molds on my desk, and another 4, 5, 7.
I think G2 Ramjet is the best review I've ever heard for that figure so far.
Yeah, I have way too many of that basic mold. At this point,
he got hardcore upstaged by that Action Master Thundercracker, I think.
Yeah.
Like, that was, when that figure came out, I forgot Ramjet was even happening, because I was like, because Ramjet for a while was like, oh, that's my cool, goofy, you know, neon plane. Oh,
crazy colors, look at that.
Thundercracker shows up, and you're like, who's Ramjet? Because he's not green and pink. He's
gold head, what?
Exactly. Poor Ramjet. But,
so I got those, with the standard Fun Pub. For the bot toys, the massive foam box on them, waiting to go up in the display room right now. They're actually out on the TV stand, or on the TV. That's the stand, because it's mounted. So what else? I also picked up Crankcase.
And how do you like him?
I've got the clipped fingers.
Oh, no, because there's better ones out there now.
Yeah, there's better ones either way, but apparently I got one of the doofy ones.
You're in the middle.
Yeah. I wish that the two dreads, that all of them split apart, not having one that's mostly separate and then two that are together, but
yeah,
minor niggle. This is also like all of the other deluxe mech tech weapons. I wish that it had a catch.
Definitely.
To be able to do something with it. Because it's not a bad, big, bulky-looking gun, but it would be nice to display it as the weird, crazy claw thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Like, having messed with a ton of mech tech weapons now, the deluxe ones all kind of disappoint me in this little way. Because it's like, they're cool, but it'd be so much cooler if you could have them lock in place.
Yeah, because all the Voyagers have a way to lock them in place. Yeah. And they end up generally looking better.
Yeah.
But everybody's talked about him at this point. I got to fiddle with one with a finger at BotCon. I think I would have liked the big FU finger better than this weird nubby amputee finger.
You should pick up one of those ones while you're in Canada.
Yeah, I might just do that. Whenever I'm in Canada next.
Yeah, I wonder when that'll be.
Also picked up Ice Pick. Actually, he's been floating around for a while. I just hadn't gotten the chance to open him purely because of the fact that he's the Power Core Combiner Ice Pick.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's the Saw mode. I didn't have, as I was messing with him, anybody that had stable shoulders and a 5mm peg to play with, because I had Crankcase and I had Optimus Prime. I picked up the Deluxe Prime as well. And both of them, their ball jointed shoulders aren't strong enough to basically hold their own weight up again.
I can't imagine. I actually just picked up the Deluxe Prime this week as well, and I cannot imagine him having a Human Alliance mech tech weapon.
Yeah. Just hanging out on his arm. But he's got stiff shoulders right up until you put a bunch of weight on it, and then not so much.
Yeah.
Plus the whole balance issue of you'd have to have him like leaning all the way back, like sitting down almost to counterbalance that much weight. But he makes three modes. He has guns that point at his rider.
Yep.
Yeah.
Keeps him on his wits, keeps his wits about him.
Yeah. And so then the Walmart Deluxe Prime is the other one I picked up. That I really wish you could lock that axe to be an axe.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you were bringing up locking mech tech weapons, never have I felt that way even more than on this Deluxe Prime's weapon. Omegas, did you pick up the Deluxe Prime at all?
No. In fact, I'm void of Transformers this week.
Oh, okay. Then I'm just going to gabble. Aaron's talking about this. But what do you think of Deluxe Prime?
I like him in the fact it's a Prime at the Deluxe scale.
And it actually looks okay in both modes, which is what got me. Like, the truck mode is excellent.
Except for the back of the sleeper cab.
Yeah.
Is the one place where it's kind of weak. But being the back of a sleeper cab being kind of weak is not a terrible thing in what's a $10 price point. It just really surprises me that this mold apparently is going to be exclusive to Walmart.
It still has the ridges back there too, which is kind of like a nice little extra.
Yeah.
But this mold, as I understand it, was primarily designed, I think, to go with a trailer that's coming out in Japan and then got cross-promoted over to the States as a Walmart exclusive. I'm guessing just so that Walmart will have a cool exclusive among all the other ones.
Oh, so is this the same Prime that comes with the trailer we saw the Fumihiko guy?
No, that's Brothers? That's a variation of the Voyager Prime.
A completely different. Oh, so but, there's even more.
There's another trailer coming out, which is designed for this Deluxe Prime, which I want to say it's the one that's being packed together with G1 Prime, like that.
Okay.
That G1 movie 2-pack thing they're doing, but I can't.
So apparently, in Japan, you can't make a movie 3 Prime without a trailer.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
But the truck mode, like, it's that the paint apps on the front of the cab really make this feel like you're getting kind of your money's worth out of it.
Yeah. That's the only place where he gets hung up is the fact that he has the whole front of the vehicle hanging off his back.
Yeah, but it's a lot less intrusive than I was expecting it to be once I got it open.
Yeah.
But it is still...
Well, on top of that, it's the rough thing of the way that it's packaged. It's packaged, like, cab down.
Yeah.
And kind of crushed in a little bit so that he fits inside the bubble, but that's a case of kind of kludging the robot mode so that you can get it to fit in there right.
Yeah, and like that cab is really one of the few problems I have with it. Like, you know, and as a huge backpack, I find it is, like I said, a lot less troublesome than I thought it would be.
Right. Yeah.
The big problem I have with him actually is his. At least the problem I had with him until I figured something out about it is his heels, because he has no heels. And then I found out the problem is if you try to balance him so that his actual feet are on the ground, it'll never work. His center of balance has him standing on the red parts that form the wheel wells. And right. that means his toes will always be hovering off the ground, but he'll be standing yeah. pretty solidly. And then when I figured that out, I was like, oh, I see now. And I was like, that's kind of aesthetically a crime, but at least it stands.
Somebody's going to be doing time in the aesthetics ward.
Aesthetics police are coming for you, Mr. Designer. Like the actual transformation, though, I quite like. I think it's real cool how they got even a neat kind of chest split gimmick in yeah. there. To...
Well, it goes for the whole what they've talked about a whole lot before is having a good head reveal.
Yeah,
because it locks down in there, and when you kind of squeeze the chest a little bit, or there's some
what it is that
motion in there,
it locks in, and then there's actually a gray tab on his back, and if you don't push it at all, when you flip the backpack up, that hits the tab, and it fires his head up.
Oh, that's where the trigger is. Okay,
it fires his head up like a missile.
Yeah, but yeah, it's if you can find it, I'd say it's worth a pickup.
I think the best way I can describe it is it's a really neat toy. It's pretty cool. And if you're being picky about your movie toys, it's very easy to skip without worrying about it.
Yeah. Because
there are many better Prime toys. But as a deluxe movie Prime, it does things that I think 3 years ago would not have worked on a deluxe scale. This is a lot of their experience coming out in this figure.
Yeah, previous line, if we'd seen this, we'd have thought you were crazy. You're not doing that at $10.
And I still thought that when this was announced, and then it's when I saw the pictures, and I was like, wow, that kind of works. But I really wish that Mech-Tech weapon would lock open. XV Braun on Twitter, I think, mentioned on one of his posts, he just pulled the spring out eventually, and the Mech-Tech weapon was a lot cooler.
Yeah. Well, what I found with Nitro Bumblebee that I got previously, the little clear rubber bands, if you have toys that come with those... keep a hold of them, because that's a good way to unobtrusively keep those open. But it's a matter of finding a spot that you can band it where it doesn't look bad.
Yeah.
Lupus. This, you might be able to pull the gun part back, but...
Lupus, if you're thinking of buying movie toys, what do you think of the Deluxe Prime? Are you going to pick them up, or are you going to be a little bit more discerning?
I think I'll be a bit more discerning, only because how many primes do I have from the past 2 movies?
But this one has a new abdomen!
Woo! If I'm going to get a new prime, it's going to be like the SDCC one.
Ah, the crazy armor one. I want
going to get the butterfly.
Yeah.
I mean,
butterfly prime.
We've kind of found out now that people have got him from Amazon, that when he has all the armor on, he's kind of a brick. But having seen that armor in person, I kind of don't care.
Yeah, but when I saw it at BotCon, my brain instantly went to Power Master Optimus Prime. Yeah. How many points of articulation did Power Master Optimus Prime
flap
have?
Flap his arms.
Two.
No.
Nope. Four.
He could his legs.
He could do a split.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could do a split. He could raise his arms up. The little candy toy one had elbows. That's embarrassing.
I want the elbows. That's what I want.
Elbows are nice.
But did you get any other Transformers, Aaron?
No, that was it. It's been kind of light after BotCon, and I was going light on the movie stuff. I'm probably going to be looking for Wreckers now.
Good man.
Darn it.
Did you get any of the deluxe ones? I forgot.
No.
Oh, the deluxe Wreckers so far have been fine. I mean, Roadbuster's a bit light on paint apps, but I actually was quite satisfied with both of them.
But...
I got some other Transformers myself. I picked up an ARC because of Proto Man. And it is pretty cool. Roller is not a very good Legends toy, unfortunately. He looks neat, but his transformation feels like something out of 2006, relying a whole lot on positioning ball joints to line up certain... Like, thank goodness there are tabs to lock things in place, but it's a very, very imprecise transformation. Feels a whole lot like... a late-run pack-in mini-con, more so than a Legends toy. Which is unfortunate, because otherwise he's a cool design, and his vehicle mode's actually pretty big with the huge arm on the front. So he's not bad, it's just that he's kind of low-tier to me for what Legends can actually be now. The ARC itself, though, is damn cool. Canadians, for Canadians, it's on sale for a couple more days for 25% off, so we can get it for $30. You Americans, as far as I know, can already get it for $30, and if it ever goes on sale under $30, it would be a crime not to get it, because it's pretty big, It's a really neat little playset. It's great for Cyberverse, but as has been proven by many who took photos, it's also great for Creo if you're going to put Creons in there. And the sound effects are marvelous, and transforming it's so fun because it is literally just pull the arc and then it transforms, and then you fold open two panels and it makes the transforming noise.
I'm a rip this thing apart and then it's transformed.
Yep. And it has some really clever gimmicks with like a very sensitive button. So this all uses the same button, but in arc mode, you put a guy in the pilot seat and his weight will push down a button that'll make the arc start making hovering noises. And then if you that same button is part of a ramp in the base mode, you put a vehicle mode on it, it makes this charging noise, and you push a button to raise the ramp and a vehicle goes off of it, and then it makes this launching noise, which is kind of neat too. But yeah, the arc, I think, is for, if you can get the arc for $30 or less, it's great. If you have to pay $40 in Canada or over in Europe, I would not recommend it for that. It'll be very disappointing for $40. For $30 though, for everything it does and for its size, I think is pretty cool. And Americans, if you can wait, you know, if you can get this thing for like 25 or 20, you're laughing. In fact, if you see it for $20 and you pass it up, I hate you, and I'm going to come find where you live and slap you once. In the face. And after weeks now of almost buying it, the many times I went to the States and almost buying it, the many times that I saw it on sale in Canada, I finally picked up, right before this week really got started, I picked up Voyager Ironhide. Because I was like, you know what? I was thinking of waiting for the red one, but it's like, damn it, I have every Voyager Black Ironhide so far. So I've got to finish this journey. And I did. And
I've been holding off on him.
He's,
don't know why.
He's almost a really good Voyager toy.
Almost.
Really good transformation, almost. Really good robot mode, really good vehicle mode. And it all falls apart with the fact that his chest doesn't work. Which is a bummer because it's a really great toy. The proportions are awesome. The legs, from the waist down, he is perfect. Really well done. From the waist up, he's pretty good, but the way that you're supposed to get his chest to lock in place just doesn't work. And I've checked on Twitter, and I've been hearing that that's just how it is. It relies on a tab, and then there's no slot for the tab. There's a ledge for the tab to press down on top of. And that's where this thing fails. That should have been a slot. Because the fact that it's a ledge means it comes loose. It doesn't come loose like super easy once you get it in place, but it's just so imprecise that it feels kind of like a bummer. Because otherwise, I like this toy. I still like this toy, and I'd say, you know, if you want a Black Ironhide Voyager and you haven't got one yet, there's no reason not to pick this up for $20, but it could have been better if the chest locked down. Because otherwise, I really love the proportions on this. It's a slimmer Ironhide. It's got full-on leg articulation. The arms are a little bit weird, but once you've messed with them long enough, you can kind of figure out how to get them to work.
Okay.
I love the proportions on it too. It's just that the chest is kind of messed up, at least in my experience. If someone out there has had a better experience with the chest, please post in the thread. Let us know. Let us know how to get the chest to transform properly. Because there's a really cool part about the chest, which is basically once you've transformed the rest of the toy, you push in on the front of the car, and the chest pieces are actually hooked together by a V-shaped connection. And so you push them in, and basically the front of the car literally crushes together to form the chest of the robot. And it's kind of cool because that's the improvement this has, is that it's not relying on all kinds of individually ball jointed panels that don't peg in anywhere, like on the old Ironhide design. So that part is more precise, but there's no secure way to really lock it down. And on the bright side, when it's not locked down, it still looks okay. It's just that it kind of rattles a bit when you mess around with it, and stuff never feels like it's really solid. So It's an okay toy. I don't think it's a bad Voyager, but it's not a perfect Voyager, and I only say that because it almost could be, and that's the bummer about Ironhide.
That's always where it's the bummer, where you're like, it's just there, just right there.
Yeah, like if it wasn't so good, I'd just say, yeah, he's an average Voyager. Might want to pick him up, but this is where it kind of almost pushes me in the opposite direction, where I'm like, well, he's actually almost a really good Voyager, except for this one crippling little flaw that really messes everything up.
Just so close, it's just going to cheese you off.
Yeah, I don't know. It might, like, also, you know, maybe I'm just neurotic about it. Like, it also means that it's very hard to get his chest hood pieces to sit there symmetrically. They're always a little bit off. So, I don't know. You know, check him out. If you got a friend who's picked him up, just mess with theirs first to see if you really like it. And like I said, his legs, are, from the waist down, he is perfect. He's probably the best Ironhide I've ever messed with in terms of legs. It's amazing. When you compare this Ironhide's leg transformation to that of the first one, it's amazing how far they've come. But that's all the Transformers I got this week. So let's hop off topic for a second. Lupus, did you get anything that wasn't Transformers?
I'm thinking. I got a really cool bandana for my birthday, but other than that,
that's pretty badass.
Yeah, not really.
All right. All right, Omegas, I will unleash you now from your cage where we've kept you boxed up this entire segment. what did you pick up this week?
Well, in the last 2 weeks, I have been to my yearly anime convention.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish I could have brought back like this enormous haul, but we hit money trouble on day one, which always kind of sucks when you're walking into a dealer room that big.
I know the feeling. So,
yeah. So it's just little random things that caught my eye and were dirt cheap, which includes things like the airship from Final Fantasy Advent Children.
Why not?
I've got a little Bahamut to go with it. It makes a nice little display.
Aw.
I like the little techie style it has. It's
hmm.
I don't know. Kind of strange aesthetic. See. And going to a good Final Fantasy game. From Final Fantasy VI, they had a Terra figurine.
Yeah, that
I'll buy anything with. Huh?
That game has no toys.
I know. It's like it stopped right before the marketing boom that Number 7 created.
Like
How many
years has it been since that game came out? How many games have had good toys now?
Yeah. Everything since has had enormous lines of action figures, but they've never gone backwards. Like the only reason they made a Terra figurine was because it's the Dissidia design.
No, and so it's not even it's technically from a new game anyway.
Yeah, there was 1 year where the number one thing you'll find there are these huge bins of little minifigures that you can buy, and I bought like 7 different Final Fantasy VI keychains just because they were the only thing I could absolutely find ever.
I mean, I don't know, maybe I misunderstand the demographic, but I mean, if PlayArt's Kai did a Kefka who was really poseable and had some accessories, I mean, that would sell, I think.
It probably would. He's still one of the most popular villains of the franchise. They made a Kefka figurine.
Because he was in Dissidia, right?
He's in Dissidia.
Yeah, so, you know, I like Sephiroth as much as your average person who was a teenager in the 90s, but, I'd love a Kefka.
You need Kefka, because Kefka actually succeeded.
Yeah.
Spoilers. He's a villain that won. Come on.
Spoilers for a 15-plus-year-old guy. How long ago was Final Fantasy VI?
Oh,
that was 1990. I want to say 1994.
Yeah, at least 15 years.
It just got released on the Virtual Console.
Oh wow! But what else did you pick up at the convention?
The other thing you find are little plushies. So I have a Moogle.
Hey!
It's again the Final Fantasy VI style, so it's kind of annoyingly glaring at me.
He's gonna be a part of your party at some point, so don't start.
Eventually, he'll dance for me and create earthquakes.
Yeah, Koopa.
I was trying to pick up. I was
94.
I was trying.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, it was bugging me because I was trying to think how far back in time did that go.
Stop everything. 94. All right, continue.
I said 94.
Yeah. I couldn't Thank remember you. If it was 94 or 95. Sorry.
It bothered me. I was trying so hard to pick up Transformers there. Like, they had a United Bumblebee for, like, $30. There was a Galaxy Force Red Alert there for... I don't know why.
How much was it? Do you remember?
Not offhand. It was like still in box and everything. It's weird.
I paid like 25 for mine way back then.
Yeah, yeah. That's what imports used to go for all the time. Like that one guy there with the sharp edge and hard head versus pack, which he wanted $60 for the damn thing. You can get it for $27 right now. No, you know.
Yeah.
The cons are fun, but oh my god, if you try to buy anything that isn't the demographic there, you're gonna have to pay enormous prices.
That's why I generally don't look for Transformers at other conventions.
Yeah. Well, there used to be a guy that sold vintage Transformers there, and it was actually really a really cool little booth to visit every year. Mm. But he hasn't been by. It's upsetting. However, I did have one big acquisition since we last convened. I now too have the complete set of Dopont Memories.
Yes, I actually funny story. I was staying over in Seattle, sleeping on a floor, and I couldn't sleep. And I was watching YouTube, and I caught your video about getting that. And I was like, "Yes, you hit the same realization that I did." That's why I bought mine, because I was sitting there going like, I really want one. And it's like, oh, I'll pay $15 for one of these, because it's one of the rare ones. And I was like, math it out, man. If I'm going to pay $15 for one of these, and I know I'm going to end up buying them whenever they come up, why don't I just do the whole thing? Like,
yeah. Because, there was a part of me where I was saying, well, I'll be satisfied just getting a few that aren't on the DX memory. And I'll just be satisfied getting, like, one of every color.
And that'll still run you like $100 by the end of it. So you're like,
it did.
Yeah,
I only bought 10 of these things, and I was in for over $100.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, crazy people.
So it's like, crazy, yeah, if I'm going to drop 100. I may as well drop 200 plus and get 30 some. And
yeah, and get the ones that are worth bragging about.
Utopia. Yeah. Exactly.
Who was that?
Because some of those
that was Utopia. Which is one of the rare ones, as well as Weather and Quetzalcoatlus. What's the other one that always goes? I know Weather's the most popular one, but...
The usual ones, like Nazca.
Oh yeah, Nazca. Everyone wants Nazca.
Kladol.
Everyone wants Nazca.
Oh, yeah, Kladol's in there. Get all of them.
Yeah, there's a Kladol in here.
I don't think I was
sold on it until the fact that I realized... Until you actually get one and realize that it's... Got a completely unique programming for Gaia Memory.
Yeah, they're very they're fully unique. They got the swapping for sides and whatnot, which I don't think was in any of the other ones. So
no,
it's it's. I mean, you got to be a fan of the show to pick this up, because this is where it classifies under the term prop replica, because you're buying 35 things to have basically everyone that showed up in the TV show, and you're paying
right
under $10 for each one, but you're paying whatever that price is 35 times. Yeah. So, this is in the realm of people who, like, I want to buy, like, a Star Wars gun. It's like, I liked Kamen Rider Double, so I want to buy all the sticks from the show. And it comes in a nice piece of packaging and whatnot. So.
Oh, yeah, the packaging is beautiful. Like, I don't actually have a spot to store these yet,
I don't either.
Well, I keep all the other guy memories in these nice little, like, tool tub things that I found at Walmart.
But you can't do that with these ones, because it's like, I've got this hand-cut foam thing meant for them to be in.
I know, but I don't have anywhere for the giant pizza box to go.
That's where it's like, you gotta put that on. That's something that's meant for like a coffee table or a mantel place. Like,
yeah. Like, I wish I could get a little display cabinet, you know, where I can just like put the foam into like a little... thing I can hang on the wall.
Yeah, because I mean, on the bright side, that package is wide, but it's thin, so it fits in a closet really nicely.
Yeah, I've got a little... Yeah, well, if I can ever figure out some way of storing these things I was happy with, yeah, I could put it away.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't... I'd want the memories at Access.
Mm-hmm. But it's cool that you got it, though. So, and you like, as I understand, you got it from within the state, so you didn't have to pay the cost of having it shipped from Japan, which was... horrible.
Mm-hmm.
that's why, you know, I know you said you went in on the T2 set, because I'm in on the T2 set as well, but it's gonna suck when
yeah I didn't get to go in on the T2 set when the pre-orders were up, but I know people that have extra sets that I'll be attempting to acquire.
Okay, they're and probably going to charge you the shipping on this. there's yeah, no way maybe. That shipping two of those things is only like an extra $20 on top of shipping one, because... Unless it is, maybe because they're so thin, like stacking two of them is just like an extra $10 on top of the 9,800 yen it's probably going to cost.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell because, like, I was, you know, the guy I bought them from, I was talking to him, I was like, well, we're planning like $30-$40 to ship these things just from Kentucky to Florida.
Yeah.
And it ended up being like 12.
Well, yeah, shipping inside the states is beautiful because you guys have a postal system that is vaguely conducive to the idea that you all live in the same country, unlike mine. But
and that you want to get things from one point to another.
Yeah. This is going way off on a track I've been on many times. So I'll just come back here and say, so did you get anything else this week?
No, that was pretty much it for me.
Okay.
Yeah. You drop $200 for sticks that shout English at you, and you're pretty much done for a while.
Prop replicas. Remember that. Prop replicas.
I don't even call them that because some are inaccurate.
They're close. They're inaccurate, kind of like, you know, Star Trek phasers can be inaccurate. You're all right. It's prop replicas. Yeah, exactly. Like sonic screwdriver. How many sonic screwdrivers? There's like a million of them. So,
yeah.
Think what Doctor Who fans have to go through. And then some of them are keychains. Some of them are just flashlights. It's nuts. Aaron, what did you get that was off topic?
A Kinect.
You got...
Yeah.
Why did... Okay.
I'm leaving now.
No, it was... I had a Best Buy gift card and reward zone points that were coming up on expiration. And I had seen that some of my favorite games that are going to be coming out soon were having a Better with Kinect tagline in them.
That doesn't that's not always like you can't take taglines as gospel.
I know. I know. It's actually I haven't gotten it for any of the silly dance around games.
Those are the best ones, though.
I've played the one that's come with it. No, surprisingly, the thing that I have used it a lot for is chat's a bit nicer when you don't have the microphone.
I suppose, yeah.
Off of your controller, and then also since it's turned into a media hub, my Xbox is more a media hub anymore than a video gaming system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice, like if you're doing something and going to get up and go in the other room, you don't have to find your controller because I never bought the remote.
Do you say Xbox Media?
And you just say Xbox pause.
Oh, man.
And it pauses. And it just and it pauses as soon as you get done saying pause.
It's not
even like kind of screwing with the controller and you hit start or whatever and you've got that fumble time. It's just like, you know, getting up to get yourself a glass of milk. You just stand up and you just say Xbox pause as you walk by, and I've not once had it miss.
That is
not even like you have to do like all the demos. You always see the demos and they're Xbox pause really loud and enunciating. You can just be like Xbox pause, and as long as you didn't say anything immediately before saying Xbox,
yeah,
it'll pause it. And I was sitting there because my brother came over and he was giving me all kinds of grief about buying this, and even though I only ended up paying like $65.
Yeah.
Once it was all said and done, because I got a refurbished, so I saved $20 there and blah, 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 blah. And he was giving me all kinds of grief. And I said, yeah, but watch this. Okay. Xbox Kinect Hub. Xbox Netflix. And then doo-doo-doo came up. And it only shows you your top 12 suggestions or your top 16 suggestions.
Yeah.
And the third one was something I wanted to watch. So it's Xbox Video 3. And then... boom, starts playing Netflix. So we were sitting there talking. He's like, yeah, okay, that was kind of neat.
That's the thing. Like, that's the thing.
Do you want something from the fridge? Yeah, okay. Xbox pause, and I went and I got him the thing from the fridge. Xbox play. And he was sitting there going, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, when you
I'm
use
still
it as a luxury
one,
item.
Because that's goofy. It's totally...
when you use it just as literally like as a luxury item to make your Xbox more futuristic, it is pretty cool. It's just like, it's good that you know the reality of the Kinect going in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The facial recognition stuff hasn't worked really well. Sometimes it'll recognize me, and it'll say Axmith recognized. And it's like, oh, that's cool. I don't know what that necessarily means, but cool.
It means your Xbox is watching you. That's what it means.
Yeah. So I've played the Kinect Adventure game that comes with it. And the weird thing is so we had four people over and only one or two people can play Kinect Adventures. But as you go along, if one person earned an achievement, all four people that were there earned the achievement.
Hmm.
So it was kind of weird just the way that specific game goes. But it's like those early Wii games where it's like, flail around! And, oh, look, you're flailing around.
Look,
and then
the
it takes pictures of you.
Things.
And it always tends to take a picture of you when you're making a type of movement. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, God. Oh, wait a second. It saves those and can auto-upload them if that option's turned on. Tell me that option's not turned on. Oh, God, that option's turned on. Oh, no. Oh, no. But it's been a fun little gimmicky thing.
Well, don't feel bad because that's basically, I mean, I've said it before. I bought the PlayStation Move because I had a gift card and I wanted it for one game. So I've done the buy the motion control thing that it has no real long-term fidelity right now.
Yeah. Kind of thing, well, from everything, it's not the sensor so much, it seems, as the voice stuff that's going to be where it's at, because I guess it does a lot of that parsing inside the sensor and not in the Xbox, which is why you can't do that stuff with just your headset, you know?
Well, so, you know, also what you have to do now is every game you buy, if there's a real dinky little Kinect mode built in, you have to play it.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to do that, like the goofy first-person shooter Kinect things where you're going to be crouching behind your couch, making your hand go like, jazz hands, and like shooting a gun with your fingers. Or
you've got to
get the Harry Potter game with the Kinect mode in it where you like wave your hand around like you're doing magic spells, going like, Percussio! And like shooting stuff.
The place where I think it has some interest is I saw one where it was a driving game.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody in a driving game actually drives in the in-car mode because you can't see anything.
Yeah.
Well, I saw somebody's review or preview where it tracks your head. So if you turn your head a little bit to the side, not thinking about it, you know, like, okay, I want to look over there, it'll actually shift the view over some.
Yeah.
So it can track that. Or even just being able to give voice commands, you know, in Mass Effect 3. Instead of having to pause the action, load up a menu, tell Miranda to do whatever, you can just say, Miranda, I even forget what
Miranda,
the power names
romance
are.
Scene.
Yeah. Yeah. Miranda, romance scene. And then it's kind of awkward bed tussle. But, you know, being able to do things like that, I think it's an interesting new depth to the experience.
Okay. Also, we managed to do some voicemails, but unfortunately, Lupus does have to take off.
I do. Sorry, guys.
No, but you were here for voicemails. So we got something
for once.
Here.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. And you got all your What We Gots done as well.
Yeah, it wasn't too much. But
so
maybe next time I'll actually bring up what I got above
them. Oh my god, we never did that. Remind me to do that. Remind me to do that on 156. I'm going to forget otherwise.
Okay.
All right, well, take it easy and send me the audio.
See you guys.
When it's ready.
Later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. But yeah, Aaron, grats for taking the... I still think $60 is a risk, but grats for taking the risk on a Kinect.
Yeah, I... You know, if nothing else, I paid approximately, you know, somewhere between a third to a half of the price of it. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting, I really dig interesting tech like that. And then I have a friend who actually is already playing with the SDK that came out. So being able to program at base level on the Kinect connected to a PC where he has seen and knows people that do like alternative music stuff where they have what's the instrument that you play due to the electrical conductivity?
Oh, theremin.
The theremin. Well, they do like shows with that sort of thing. And so they wanted him since he's a programmer guy, to you know, see what they could do with the Kinect, because they saw some deal where somebody with, before they had real true access to everything, doing something kind of like a theremin of different areas made different sound effects and setting up sound loops and stuff like that. So there's a lot of neat tech that is deep inside that thing. If you know somebody
who can program for it, that is already to me a million times more interesting than my situation. Cause now it's like, you can get your buddy to come over and be like, hey, you want to show me what you're doing?
Yeah.
Like, that is already a million times more interesting than your average consumer setup. So there you go. Did you get anything else, or was the Kinect your...
That was it.
All right. I got a couple little things I want to talk about. One of them was, I went by a Winners, which is kind of like our version of Ross, since I finally went to a Ross when I was in Seattle and found nothing. But our Winners sometimes gets liquidated toys. And I went there and I saw some Iron Man 2 toys. And, you know, guess what's a toy line that we've all seen for months now? No, for over a year now, we've been seeing Iron Man 2 toys everywhere, because they still aren't selling out. So I saw some there, and I was like, oh, whatever. And I looked, and I was like, wait a second. And I saw that one of them was the Hulkbuster Iron Man. And I was like, I forgot if I have Hulkbuster Iron Man, but if I don't, I'm going to buy this anyway, because it's only $6 here. And I looked, and they also had the comic version of Ironmonger, which is another big Iron Man 2 toy. I was like, $6 for this? Yes! Behind that, Advanced Armor Iron Man, $6 for this! So I got three... late run or late ish run Iron Man toys for $6 each, as opposed to the 10 or 12 they tend to run around here. So I was kind of happy about that. And then those who were on Twitter some time ago saw me taking a picture of a toy and saying, is this the good Snake Eyes? And it was. So I got the Pursuit of Cobra Snake Eyes version 2, who has 1 jillion accessories. And that's really his thing, is that he has a million accessories and 2 different heads. Because apparently what they were going to do was they were going to have a running variant where it was going to be 50-50 in the case of either having the classic head with the goggles or the later head with the ninja visor. Instead, they just give you both heads and let you choose.
Okay.
And I mentioned that he has a million weapons. Like, he has
a million weapons.
And that's really his thing. That's the whole draw of this toy. But, it's pretty cool. I haven't had much fun with it yet, because all I was doing was obsessing over how to get him to hold all of his accessories at the same time, which he can do if you're creative. But eventually I'm going to start putting some of those accessories away into Ziploc bags and just having, you know, Snake Eyes with a few of them on him and actually be able to mess around with them. Because right now I can't do anything with them, otherwise accessories start falling off. But it's really cool. Like, the craziest accessories he has is that he has a submachine gun and a pistol. And then each one of them has a tiny removable silencer. So he's people have called him kind of Hasbro's answer to the Sideshow Snake Eyes, and he does feel like that very much. But that's all I got this week. I have 2 Creo sets I haven't talked about yet, but I haven't built them yet, so I'm leaving them out because I have nothing to say.
Okay.
But let's take an intermission break here, and then we'll be back with some non-voicemailed listener questions. How do you guys feel about that? I'm excited.
Let's do it.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back, ladies and gentlemen. Intermission!
Coming this July 2011, the epic return of TFCon Toronto, featuring Hasbro Canada's Transformers new products presentation and question and answer panel.
Yes, you, way in the back.
Hi, yeah, my name is Optimus. I'm a big fan. I was wondering when we Beasties are going to get some Generations figures.
Canada's largest dealer room for Transformers merchandise.
Do you have any Masterpiece sound waves?
No, I'm sorry, man, I don't.
Guest question and answer panels and autograph session.
Yes, I have a question for Optimus Prime. Where exactly does your trailer disappear to?
Magic.
And a question for Megatron. How come the Decepticons are all military vehicles or war machines, and the Autobots are just a bunch of old cars, and yet you guys never win?
Well, there was that one time, I think.
And to Transmetal Megatron, if you could conquer any place on Earth, where would it be and why?
Oh, probably Canada. For some reason, I'm rather fond of that place. Yes.
And lastly, to Optimal Optimus, I have two questions. Why exactly do you have teeth? And truck or monkey?
Well, the job came with a great dental plan, so I figured, why not? Definitely monkey.
Transformers Trivia Contest, plus art and costume contests.
Well, this is awkward.
If I were leader, this wouldn't have happened.
This summer, join us for Canada's 10th Annual Transformers Collectors Convention, located at Delta Meadowvale Resort and Conference Center, 6750 Mississauga Road, Mississauga, Ontario, July 30th and 31st, TFCon 2011.
Whether you be Predacon or Maximal, don't miss it, or else.
Que pasa, everybody? This is Vange Santi here with... That didn't work at all, did it?
No.
Not really.
No.
You don't have the rainbow wig for it.
I tried. Much love to my bro Alex out there. We got some listener questions. First one comes to us from Passion Tentacle. Passion Tentacle on YouTube, who sent this in.
Oh,
on,
dear.
Yeah. Who sent this in on February 22nd of this year. The first part of the message, I think I'm not supposed to read. It says, "Hey, Vangelis, had a pretty good idea of where was a good place to send my question for the podcast, but decided to just send it to you on YouTube anyways. Thanks, amigo." You're welcome, amigo. Que pasa? It's then a bunch of dashes. Question begins. "Hey, WTF at TFW crew, as well as that guy you forced to edit the podcast for you. I'm going to let you in on a secret, ellipses. I dig your podcast. I dig it so much. I'm going to spring a grand total of 3 listener questions on you. Are you ready for this onslaught of cues? Are you ready?
No.
Are you ready yet?
No.
What about now?
Maybe.
What about now? What about now?
I don't.
What yes,
about now?
No.
What about now? What about now?
No.
What about
yes,
now?
No.
Are you ready now?
Yes.
You ready now? It's coming to you even if you're not ready. Question number 1. Oh, man. I totally got a frog in my throat for a second there. Quote, "Since the Bay trilogy is ending, I'm thinking I would offer to bring my creative talents to a reboot. Some fans were disappointed with what Bay brought to the franchise, but I'm sure you'll be impressed by my take." All right, are you guys ready for this? This is a new live-action movie franchise.
Okay.
"I'll bring back Shia as a new character, Optimus Witwicky. He's a 14-year-old who one day discovers a strange rock in the forest that's fell from space. When he and his friends touch it, the kids all gain the power to transform into automobiles. As an homage to the original series, Optimus will wear a set of armor in his human form that resembles G1 Optimus Prime. Together with his friends, the Auto Heroes, Optimus and friends have to fight against the forces of an evil organization headed by John Malkovich's character, Mark Megatron. It's up to the superhero team and their leader, Optimus Prime, as well as their parents, because children do not have driver's licenses, to save the school dance and get the girl, Ellie Tawan." Oh, I see what you did there. "Played by teenage idol Hilary Duff." So what do you think of his take on the movie license? You think it would work? I think it would work. Aaron?
Big Fat Beetleborgs?
Mark Megatron. That's the best part, I think, was Mark Megatron. Omegas, what do you think about the Auto Heroes?
We honestly casting a 25-year-old Shia LaBeouf to play 14-year-old
now. That was my
now.
First thought, was that this question may have forgotten that Shia LaBeouf has very clearly aged since 5 years ago. So has Hilary Duff.
Man, how long is that backlog of questions?
Yeah. Up-and-coming star Shia LaBeouf. Yeah.
Didn't he just get off that Even Stevens show?
Yeah, just recently. Anyway, we just started doing this new podcast.
I don't know. It sounds like a better take on a Turbo Teen movie, honestly.
I do like his approach here, because this feels like this. I don't know. This reminds me of something. I don't know if I can even mention it, but this reminds me of a take on an existing franchise that was axed. Where it's like, how can we take all the names and then completely mess with everything else, and I love this. The Turbo Teen thing definitely is great. I love the idea of naming the character Optimus Witwicky. This feels like this, you know, this feels like it knows the roots of a lot of adaptations that almost happened or shouldn't have happened, and I like this little synopsis quite a bit. And that said, if I had won the lottery, I would totally fund this, because I want to see John Malkovich as Mark Megatron. Like, imagine if that was his role in Dark of the Moon instead of, like, well, we can't say anything because Omega still hasn't seen the movie.
John Malkovich now. I'm just imagining John Malkovich now with, like, a double-barrel shotgun taped to his arm.
I'm Mark Megatron, kids! And I'm gonna wreck your school dance! All that said, there is another question here. Question number 2.
On a less serious note, I'm extremely saddened by the seeming demise of the PCC line, which I think means Power Core Combiner, PCC. It wasn't great, but I had a real soft spot for it. I was hoping eventually we'd see an Energon Optimus Prime 5-pack emerge from the line. Are there any sets you'd like to have seen if the line had continued?
Aaron, what would you like to have seen come out of Power Core if it was still going on to this day?
Technobots theme.
Boom. That would work perfectly with the aesthetic, I think.
Yeah. Because those guys never really had personalities anyway.
Oh, burn!
Like many of the combiners in G1. It was, look, there are 5 dudes, in the cartoon at least. In the comics they got more, especially the IDW run.
You don't remember Strafe being a maniac and Lightspeed being a hippie?
Lightspeed's in the corner, just sobbing now.
Yeah, I just...
I love Lightspeed.
Hey, Lightspeed, you may as well be a drone!
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God, I really ought to be a drone. That's my Lightspeed impersonation. I hope you guys liked it. Omegas, who would you like to see come out of the future of Power Core that no longer is?
I was kind of with Aaron there, where I would have liked them to have expanded on this idea of smaller little subgroups of other subgroups that we already know of. I was waiting for those last two, the Constructicons and Dinobots, to come back switching factions as the Build Team and Lyokaiser. I think Dino King.
Power Core Lyokaiser would look a little bit funny, I think, but could work.
I was waiting for any set with elbows, honestly.
Oh, burn! Wow, it's already dead, and still the sick burn comes out. It's true though.
I'm sorry. The one thing that threw me off were those automorph arms that were just like random sticks and metal just sticking out in a vague hand shape at the end.
I think an elbow would have made Power Core cross that bridge and become something people really looked at.
Yeah.
I just think the aesthetic kind of got ruined at that point, because you'd look, you know, like the legs don't do all that much, you know, extending out. You know, it just mostly just folds the foot up, and the bodies themselves are mostly solid on most of the figures. Then you get to these arms that are made of these spindly little pieces that fold all the way down.
Yeah, and what's
about it just breaks the aesthetic to me.
Yeah, and what's a real bummer is that a lot of them were actually, if you ignore the lack of an elbow, they were pretty poseable in combined form. And they were, like, really poseable until you got to the elbows. And then, it would kind of stop. And that was kind of the bummer of the combined Power Core dudes. And I think if they'd figured out how to work an elbow in, that line would have at least with collectors. I mean, it might have still died when it did, but it would have definitely pushed off, I think, a little bit farther out into from the shore of
Because they did have the faked in knee.
Yeah,
because most of the limbs made a lower leg.
And thanks to that, the elbow
was the deep.
Yeah, and thanks to that, they had like baked in universal shoulders too.
Yeah.
So they were surprisingly poseable. It was just they really only really universally lacked elbows. Which is a bummer, but myself, I would have loved to see the connection port expand beyond Scramble City style combiners. I would have loved to see something with like six members or something with a larger toy with parts that use those ports to plug into them. Instead of being a combiner, it's more like armor or something like that. Or a power.
So like a Minicon?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, imagine as an example, and this is taken from a BotCon where someone suggested an Omega Supreme power core combiner, like something like that, where it's like you have Omega Supreme as a tank who turns into a small Omega Supreme robot, and then like the rocket ship and the train track thing could power core onto him to form like bulked out armor or something like that, like using those same connection ports so they could still automorph out, or so that you could, if you want, instead make him just into a power core combiner torso, like something like that. Just starting to think within the same box, but in a different box that's got the same dimensions, you know, like that would have been kind of cool. But that seems to be the realm of the third party companies now. So we'll see what they do. I think there was one more question here from Passion Tentacle. Yes, there is. Okay, here we go. Quote 3. Prime Optimus Prime seems like he's a bit of an old guy. It doesn't seem too far off to expect him to eventually get killed off during Prime. If this eventually happens and we don't have yet some variation of Erotimus, Hot Rod, or Speaking Bumblebee in the show's main cast, what would you think if RC was to step up and become the next leader of the Autobots? Of the initial cast, RC definitely seems to be the next best candidate for leader, and I think it would be a great change of pace, as well as pretty much connecting and cementing, because I just put the word connecting in there, he actually said cementing.
Yeah.
As well as pretty much cementing Prime RC as the definitive version of the character. Thanks for answering my questions, you guys. I think that if there was a Speaking Bumblebee, a Rodimus, or a Hot Rod, RC would still be in a better position to take over at this point. But
yes,
I would,
especially since this question comes from the end of February.
Yeah.
And hasn't had the advantage of seeing the last few RC episodes.
I think she would work if that was going to be a major plot twist in Prime and it was going to be like RC Prime. That would work, I think.
Yeah.
She's a strong enough character. Mm-hmm.
And I can also see there being the they've not really played a whole lot on the fact that she's kind of a fembot anyway. She's just been another character.
Yeah.
However, I could see that being a good kind of, well, you don't want her to lead. I mean, she's a girl. Maybe not quite like that, but, you know, the fact she's a motorcycle.
Yeah.
You know, Bulkhead's the big bruiser. You know, why aren't I the one in charge? Or Ratchet's the guy that seemingly has more experience because he's a medic. You know, why am I not in charge? And then RC's like, no, that's the way that I should be. Well, you're a motorcycle, you know, you're not.
She's a motorcycle.
You know Prime shows up and just kind of throws his arm around and slaps everybody around when he fights. How are we supposed to listen to you as a warrior leader? And then she can have a real serious moment. And
well, I think,
and then you have the more you know rainbow. And
I think she could work as a leader if it's actually played like Ultra Magnus in the 86 Transformers movie, where it's like, she's the one who has to take over, not really because she wants to, but because that's just what the situation calls for. Like, she doesn't really seem like one who would want to be in charge, but would be more so put in charge because of circumstances to me. But, Omegas, what about
you? I'm a soldier. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm a soldier. I'm not ready. Shut up and put this in your chest.
Yeah. It's like, well, my chest is pink right now. I guess I can.
Yeah, open up the diamonds.
That's a Primetime reference if you haven't been listening to Primetime.
You gotta watch in order to get the jokes. I could easily see that she does seem to act more as the field commander, and if there is a second in command among the Autobots, it's definitely her. I do like how this question just immediately assumes that Prime does have a limited lifespan in any fiction he's in.
Yeah, when he's a Cullen one, he's living on borrowed time.
Well, being an Optimus Prime is kind of like starting a game of Super Mario. You start with 3 lives, and you have to work with those.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it. I really think she would be a pretty strong candidate. And yeah, the fact that she has been played as such a strong character so far in the show, like just by default. I mean, everyone else has this designated kind of role that they fit in. RC is the soldier. RC is the, you know, frontline combatant of the team.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that we've also, in primetime, basically said that, you know, we didn't say the quote, but we have not disagreed with the idea of someone saying that Prime sometimes feels like RC and Jack are the main characters. And, you know, I would say, you know, at this point, you know, a lot of people have had screen time, but if you're gonna pick out a singular main character pair for the show, I wouldn't disagree with RC and Jack. I'd say there are other candidates who might be as qualified, but if that's who you're going to say, I'm not going to say you're wrong, because they have had a lot of screen time and a lot of time to get fleshed out. And I think that would be a real cool twist to pull on the norms of Transformers fiction. Like that kind of thing just isn't done. It's always got to be an Ultra Magnus or a Rodimus who takes over.
Yeah.
And that would be super cool if they did that with RC, but you know, we'll see where the show goes, but definitely with Prime, that theory that Passion Tentacle lays out is not one that I would say is unrealistic to me at this point.
I just like the imagery of Bulkhead being objective just because she's the motorcycle.
Yeah. She's only got two wheels.
Like his whole argument. Yeah. It's like his whole argument is based around the fact that there's no way she can haul the trailer.
That's what the Matrix upgrade is, as she turns into one of those AmCam three-wheelers.
Yeah, I want to see what happens when a motorcycle transformer gets the Matrix.
Yeah.
Where do you put the trailer?
Well, she's just like, just put a hitch on me. I'll show you how it's done. She totally, like, just, you know, mans up, for lack of a better term. And then, like, just bolts a trailer hitch onto her rear license plate and is like, just stick it on there. I'll pull this. But thank you for the questions, Passion Tentacle. We have another listener question here from Crank729, and it's much shorter. It says, quote, "Hello, Vangelis and minions. I am here to ask you a question about Transformers. Here it goes, colon. What is your favorite type of Transformers media? Whether it be the comics, the various TV shows, the movies, or etc. with an X, which is not a real word, in fact, but I'm not going to say anything except what I just said just now. Well, thanks for answering my question and keep up with the podcast, Buick!" That's our question.
Buick no longer bothers me, by the way.
This is asked back in February, so...
Even then, I think I was probably working my way out.
Okay. Buick! No? Okay.
No.
Not really.
So what's your favorite Transformers media, Aaron?
TV shows right now. Generally, I like the comics as well, and it's a close second place, but Heart of Darkness, as earlier discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get the whole experience of sight, sound, story, details. Okay. And when it's done well, it's very good.
Yes. I would agree with that. Omegas, how about you? What's your favorite kind of Transformers media?
First off, I never ever want to hear you utter the sentence, "Here it goes, colon, again." Second, what? I've always been something of...
Question, colon. Why don't you want to hear that phrase?
I've always been more of a cartoon guy. Like, that's, you know, that's what I grew up on. I read the comic book occasionally, but even to this day, I don't think I've actually dedicated myself to going through reading it and knowing that fiction as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've always stuck to the cartoons. And I don't know if that's just my preferred media storytelling, though. Given the videos I produce, I guess that'd be obvious. But I don't know. I've just always been more attracted to the animation, the acting, and the style that they portray rather than, you know, the comic book.
Yeah,
where.
All right. Mm-hmm. Sorry, we're having some Skype lag, I think.
Yeah.
Continue on. I didn't mean to cut in there.
No, it's okay. I'm pretty much done there.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I agree with both of you guys. I also prefer the TV shows, and I also kind of feel bad that I don't prefer the comic books. Because the comic books have had some of the best Transformers fiction we've ever seen. It's just that it's so... There are such long stretches between the really good comic books. And it seems, especially right now, that it's hard for really good Transformers comic books to get made. Because they always seem to get stuck in these either these voids where they don't have the right talent on hand, or there's a weird editorial decision, or et cetera, et cetera. And they just are not as consistently effective as the TV shows are. It helps that we're now in the second good TV show in a row in the form of Prime, and we just had an excellent TV show in the form of Animated. But I think TV shows, they get to deliver a good audiovisual storyline with a lot of great, you know, life to it, great voicing, a lot of character right there in your face. And because they're a TV show, they get a much easier sandbox to operate in than a feature film does. The Transformers feature films are pretty much they are two things. They're an amusement park ride with some really great visuals, and they are a vehicle to get a whole bunch of money to make good cartoons and toys. More than anything else. Whereas the Transformers TV shows right now tend to be things that I would watch regardless of a toy line. Case in point, Animated and Prime both have held me down and gotten me on as a loyal audience member without any toys on the shelves. It was after I got into the show that I was able to get some toys for Animated. So, television shows for Transformers just seems to be the one where it really clicks, because they have the least meddling, they have the best sandbox, and they get the best overall delivery of everything. Whereas comics, oddly enough, comics seem to get sidelined by meddling. The movies, of course, as being, you know, multi-million dollar productions, get heavily sidelined with meddling. And, you know, I think as Transformers fans, especially in the case of our podcast, we generally look at the movies less as full-on feature films and more as a feature film delivery of Transformers content, which is a weird way to put it. But that's kind of been my approach to them. Like, because if you look at them just as films, and if we had, you know, and you have no attachment to the franchise at all, it is, I always assume, a very different experience. And, you know, it's unfortunate. And I was talking to someone the other day who's like, well, how can we get a Transformers feature film that's as good as a Transformers TV show? And I was kind of thinking about it, and I was like, right now, I don't even know if that can happen. I always cite that it took so long for comic book movies to regularly be good that a toy commercial, what is essentially a toy commercial movie, is probably stuck back there in the days of the Roger Corman Fantastic Four films in terms of what is possible to even happen. As far as I know, really, Transformers is the first one to really have a go at it in a long time, aside from G.I. Joe. And, you know, G.I. Joe didn't turn out as well, unfortunately. So
I still haven't seen it.
That's a long tangential answer to I like the TV shows the most. Who hasn't seen it? Aaron?
I haven't seen the G.I. Joe movie yet.
Oh, it's worth seeing for Cobra Commander and Destro. They're great.
Really? I would call him lucky in the same sense that he calls me lucky.
Oh.
Over the Transformer comics.
I don't know. I mean, it helps that I went into the G.I. Joe movie only wanting to see Cobra Commander and Destro, so when I was utterly disappointed with the rest of the cast, I actually wasn't. I was just like, well, I don't care about Duke anyway, so who cares? I don't actually care about any of the G.I. Joes anyway. I only care about the two lead villains, and they're good, so I'm happy enough.
They're putting The Rock in the sequel.
I am pumped as hell for that. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm seeing G.I. Joe 2 on opening day now. Like, that's how you get me. That's how you get my butt in a seat. Give me some Rocky Maivia Jr. I know that's not his real name, but it is in my mind. We answered the question.
Your mind still has a little fro thing.
My mind has little Brahma bull horns on the tip of it. It's living back in 1999. but yeah, I like the television shows the most. So, I don't know. Do you guys want to try doing another listener question? Got some time.
I'm hearing some hard thunder outside. I feel like I'm pushing limits.
Hard thunder.
Yes.
As opposed to the soft thunder.
Well,
you know?
There. I mean, you hear the light stuff, and then I got like a 5-second rumble that I felt in the desk.
Well, I have a listener question here that's got two real easy ones. If you feel brave and you want to give it a try.
All right, quick.
We're under
quick,
the 2.5-hour mark, so I think we got time. All right.
Go,
this comes
go,
to us from Magmatron 22 and was sent to us on March 8th. He says in brackets, here is my listener question for the podcast. Dear Vangelis and his superiors, wink. Yeah, that's real.
We went from minions to superiors.
That's also why I figured you guys would enjoy this question, you bunch of...
That's the way the job market works bunch of these punks. Days.
All right. In bold. Question one, bold. With the Star Wars crossover line being absolute trash except Yoda, what way would you change it to make it better? Would you change who was behind making the figures or change up the overall aesthetic of the line? And aesthetic has an A in it, I just want to say. Also, I just want to throw it out there. The whole line is not trash except Yoda. How many times do I have to say it? Commander Cody is good.
Yeah, Commander Cody's not bad.
Granted, I'm now changing this from the whole line but one to the whole line but two. But nonetheless, I will not hear disparaging remarks about Commander Cody that put him on the same level as the Darth Vader TIE Fighter. I have to make a stand here. Draw a line in the sand.
I'd put Eric Siebenhaler on the team. Oh, wait a second. They're doing that now.
That made me stop and blink for like 10 seconds. I was like, yeah, they should. What? Huh? Oh, right. You know what's going to happen, though, is he's never going to work on them. That's the real sad part of it.
That would be funny. All right, Eric. We know you had this great time in Transformers. Oh, those they're not really Transformers. No, I know that it goes from a vehicle to a robot-looking thing through steps. But no. We want you to work on the role-playing. Come up with new lightsabers.
Come up with amazing lightsabers with amazing head sculpt designs. Is what I imagine them saying. Let's start the other direction here. Omegas, what would you do to make the Star Wars crossover line better?
See, I made this argument before, and I still say the line is okay if you're a Star Wars guy, and that's where it's aimed and marketed to.
But
because then the robot's a bonus, and you're just getting these affordable same sized vehicles that are normally really damn expensive and really damn they take up a lot of space to display altogether. These don't.
That comes with a pretty big caveat of these are actually just vehicles that happen to turn into robots, which is that is actually, I agree with you, that is kind of like the biggest draw of that line, is that it's like, hey, these are good-looking Star Wars vehicles. Oh, and if you want, it's a goofy-looking robot. But like, let's imagine we want the robots to be as much the focus as as a Transformers fan looking in would make it.
Can someone from Takara please work on the engineering? Please.
Just one guy.
Yeah.
One. That's all it would take.
Yeah, I'll follow up on that one when I answer it. But yeah, I think that would be the one thing it needs.
Yeah, the main failing point is the engineering of the transformations, especially. They leave so much kibble, and there's some really odd articulation left in, some really odd proportions. Someone who has experience with really good transformer engineering needs to be on that line.
Or whoever did Yoda. Get that guy.
Whoever did Yoda would work too.
Aaron, what would you do to improve crossover Star Wars toys?
Didn't I already say it?
What, like...
You went to him first.
Yeah.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
I thought I went...
Because I blew your mind!
I thought I went to... I thought that was a joke,
Eric.
Answer. I didn't call on Aaron. Aaron just put that one in there. That's why I missed it.
That's true. No, I think that having somebody that has more experience in the Transformer side of things would improve it, because all the Star Wars Transformers were done by Star Wars guys.
Yeah.
They might have had Transformer guys come over and say, hey, have you tried this? But they've not had somebody that was specifically Transformers to be in there. Because, it is the problem that the way that LucasArts holds that their IPs, they're going to be very concerned about the way that the alt mode looks and not as concerned about how the robot mode looks. So if you have to keep you know, it has to look like an X-Wing 95%. You know, you can kind of kludge this and you can kind of kludge that, but yeah, you can't, you know, you can't shorten up the nose so that you can end up with thicker legs. No, you can't do that, because then that's not an X-Wing. Then that's more like a headhunter or some other thing. So no, you cannot do that. It has to look like this, and the wings have to be able to open up to make it an X-Wing. And, you know, the designer's going to go, well, crap, that means I can't do anything with those wings. So I'm locked into the, you know, the, to make it better, you'd have to make it less Star Wars. And then it's not Star Wars.
Yeah, I think it's like, when you look at this line, you have to operate under the conceit, like Omega said, basically, is that these things have to be Star Wars vehicles first. And I think even operating under that, disagreeing with both of you, you know, I don't know if they can, if I have this feeling like there's some weird unspoken reason why Eric can't work on them, just because of the way things always seem to go. But, I mean, if they could get some input on them, because I know, like, you know, Eric, I don't know how much, I didn't quite catch how much of the full-on engineering Eric did as opposed to just the character design side of things, but even then, he's got the experience. He's worked with the Takara Tomy engineers for so long. You know, he can offer probably some great insights, because, or even if they can get a Takara Tomy engineer to look at some of these designs, although I prefer if they didn't, if that meant it would impact actual Transformers. But that's the big problem with this line, is that it's designed by guys who just don't have experience, and that's always been what it felt like when you mess with them. Like, you look at Yoda. Yoda is great. How many waves and how many years into that toy line was Yoda? Like, that was last year.
Even the turbo tank took a while.
Yeah, and like to Commander Cody took ages too. Like, to have a decent Star Wars Transformer took over a year. And I don't mean this to say like they're bad designers. It's just that they went through the growing pains that Transformers designers finished going through halfway through the 90s. Like, you look at, I always cite him. You look at the Darth Vader TIE Fighter from Wave 1, who has no heel spurs and some kind of illogical parts forming. And it's like, these are all problems that, you know, they're teething problems that Transformers went through and then overcame and added to its experience. And that's the big problem with Star Wars Transformers, is that they're operating on a very limited amount of experience, so that they make mistakes in engineering that Transformers doesn't really do anymore. And that's, I think, what needs to change, is it needs to have access to the amount of experience the Transformers engineers and designers have to get more on par. I think, like, the aesthetic of the line is fine. If you're going to do Star Wars crossovers, I am fine with them turning into robot versions of Star Wars characters, because that, it makes it more Star Wars. It keeps the Lucas IP more pure, if you will.
Yeah.
And I think it's goofy in a way that I enjoy. So I don't mind that part. It's the engineering that needs to be fixed up. And I think if they keep on making these toys, eventually they will get to a level on par with, like, you know, Cybertron toys from 2006, eventually. But at that point, Transformers will be, like, onto, like, the fifth movie after the reboot happens, should it ever happen. And, yeah. There's one more question here from Magmatron22, which is, do you ever wear Transformers-related clothing out in public? If not, why? If you do, what is your favorite piece of Transformers attire? Omegas.
My underoos.
Mine, too.
Lucky ones I've had since I was 8.
I don't wear mine on my pelvis anymore.
Yeah. That's the trick. I don't. Like, I have Transformers apparel, but it's all, like, costume shirts. It's stuff to wear on camera. Like, I think I will wear one, I will wear my, I don't know, I have this, like, silk Megatron shirt with the Japanese logo on it that I will wear to, like, my anime convention. That's where I wore it. Or I might wear it to, Dark of the Moon this weekend.
Yeah.
But, you know, not casually. Not just, like, out and about.
All right, and Aaron, what about you?
Not often. For the most part, due to my job, I have a bright lime green shirt that I wear that has my company name on it, so that I'm bright and lime green.
Well, let's go outside of times where you have a uniform to wear.
Outside of times where I'm working, I'd often just grab whatever in on the top in the drawer, or I cycle through. Like for going to see the movie Tuesday night, I put on my Wreck and Rule shirt, hoping for that line. And to be not, I mean, I saw three or four BotCon shirts at my showing, and while that's cool and that shows off your geek cred, at the same time, I prefer to be a little bit more stealthy in my geek, so that if you know it, you get it. If you don't, you're either slightly confused or you just don't see it at all. Because I will openly admit there are many things that I'm a big geek on, but I don't like to be the type of person that jams it down your throat if you're not interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Why I always feel awkward in non-Transformers-y public when people, you know, start asking me stuff about Transformers. I don't want to turn into, oh, you really want to know about my hobby? That's the greatest thing ever. Here you go. Optimus Prime is a big red robot truck.
Let's go get a Big Mac together and supersize the fries.
Because I've run into people that are very excited about what gets them excited. And at a certain point, you just want to go, dude, chill the freak out. Okay, because you're making me freak out here, and wow. So, you know, if I had one person see my shirt and looked at it and kind of had the slow roll of two and two, and he gave me that really cool, like, hey, yeah, type of nod, and, you know, that was cool, but it wasn't like I had the Autobot splash across everything. You know, I'll wear them. Ultimately, it comes down to, I guess I'll wear them at, like, conventions and stuff, and occasionally in public, but quite often it could also be a Life is Good shirt or a Purdue Engineering shirt or a Feast of the Hunter's Moon shirt. So, on where it ends up in the cycle.
Let me step out of the cycle here then and say I constantly wear Transformers t-shirts. However, I think perhaps my fashion sense causes them to not get noticed all that much. I really don't care about wearing Transformers shirts or not, because I have a lot of BotCon t-shirts now. I don't throw them out. I tend to hang on to them. I've generally been the same XL size since, you know, years ago. So I wear my BotCon t-shirts all the time. Those are really my own. They are primarily my only Transformers t-shirts. I also have, like, I got a Wreck and Rule shirt from Amy, and I've got this really silly Party Like 1984 Optimus Prime shirt that I generally only wear when I'm doing exercise or something. But BotCon shirts, I'm usually okay with wearing them. It's just that my fashion sense is generally when I wear a t-shirt, I'm also wearing a collared shirt or a jacket or both, often with the buttons undone, so you can still see the logo on the t-shirt, but I'm also wearing something over it, so that, because that's my fashion sense. I'm a very vain person, and I want to have the look of always having some kind of jacket on, even if it's just a collared shirt that's open. So I wear any kind of t-shirt. I wear all kinds of logo t-shirts, but I suppose that my fashion sense makes them less overt. I don't know, like, because I was about to say, like, I wear them loud and proud, but I thought about it. I'm like, but I also always wear a sports jacket or a shirt or something, because I'm a pretty boy. So, I don't know. I don't know if that changes my answer in the eyes of an onlooker at all. But I do generally wear Transformers shirts for the hell of it. That said, I don't really have a favorite one that I always put on. Like, right now, my favorite one's the Wreck and Rule one, because I bought that off of Amy, and that was, like, cooler than your average BotCon shirt. Although, I like the Stunicon shirt as well. I wore that to the press screening of Dark of the Moon that I went to. And I like that shirt on a design level, because it's black with a purple logo, and I think that's real striking. I used to have a Decepticon logo hoodie. I still have it somewhere with, like, the Decepticon logo embroidered right on the front chest, hugely, real nicely done. But two things happened. Number one, I kind of stopped wearing hoodies because they aren't pretty enough and I'm vain. And then number two, this actually didn't factor into it, but this is my funny story about this hoodie. I once wore it into the cafeteria. I walked in and then someone was like, oh, is that some kind of gang sign? And I was like, yeah, peace through tyranny. And yeah, but I am not averse to wearing Transformers clothing in public, but I don't really have a particular one that is like my one big Transformers piece of clothing. Cause I've also been buying Transformers shirts, at least from BotCon, ever since the year 2000. So I don't really have one that is like my go-to shirt. Also, cause if I did, I'd probably have worn it out by now. I used to really like there was a BotCon shirt that had all of the Optimus Primes and all the Megatrons from G1 up until RID on it, like in this grid pattern almost. I really like that shirt design, and I still have it somewhere. That's, I think, one of my favorite BotCon shirts, actually, because the artwork was just so nice on it, and it was so nice, and it was a whole lot of artwork, but it was still sort of understated, because it was in this kind of, like, roll call series of columns across the chest. I like that shirt design quite a bit. I think, actually, my least favorite BotCon shirt is the sky blue one with a big animated Optimus Prime on the front, because it just looks so undesigned and thoughtful, you know, like it's just
mm-hmm.
Hey, it's animated Optimus Prime and it says BotCon on it, and it's like I don't like that one as much. This new one is way better for an animated shirt because it's all like it's a Stunicon logo and it's real snazzy. The Shattered Glass shirt as well, the yellow one with Shattered Glass Prime, I'm not a big fan of either because it is just like it's a big piece of artwork that says BotCon on it, and those are my least favorite BotCon shirts because they just feel like something I could have bought at a Hot Topic. Whereas one with a nice logo design on it feels like it just feels a little bit more special to me. And aesthetically, I prefer something that is more of like an abstract logo rather than just a big picture. I really don't like wearing t-shirts with just a big picture drawn on them. This is showing just how utterly shallow I get about the clothes I wear. Like, to go a little bit deeper, I hate wearing t-shirts that have a written logo on them. But I'm okay with it if it doesn't look like a written logo and it just looks like an abstract piece of art. Or if it's like a t-shirt that... I don't like to wear a t-shirt with a big picture of a dragon on the front, but if the whole t-shirt's covered in this weird, wiry, abstract image that actually is a dragon but doesn't really look like it until you look at it closer, I like those kind of t-shirts. Like, I like t-shirts that are not just like, it's a picture! I like it to have a sense of, yeah, you've got to look at it to get the design. And then, because that combined with my usual thing of wearing a shirt or a jacket or both over top with the front open up so you can still see the t-shirt, because that's the important part, that leads to a look that I really enjoy. So there's some fashion tips with Vangelis. Magmatron goes on to actually say, oh, and Vangelis, after hearing you were gifted Minecraft, I was worried you wouldn't have enough time to play this amazing game, so I've created a Minecraft version of animated personality Vangelis for you to use while playing on or offline. This way you must play Minecraft, or Minecraft personality Vangelis will starve in the cold, alone, and sad. And the unfortunate thing is, I still haven't had time to boot up Minecraft for any meaningful amount of time. So, that's one of the things I'm going to be doing when I spend a couple weeks in Toronto. I think I'm going to put Minecraft on my MacBook and actually have a go at that game. So one reason why I haven't messed with Minecraft very much is that I am terrified of the time sink it could become. Because I don't have time for a time sink right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
But
I got gifted that game too. It's like, I don't want to tempt it in the least. I have too much to get done.
But since I was gifted it, it's like I will boot it up again. I will play it. I just got to find a way to play it that isn't so daunting to me.
Yeah.
So it's still something I got to do. I feel really bad about it actually, but I do thank you very much, Magmatron22, because I did appreciate the little Vangelis dude. He looked kind of cool. I don't have a link ready to go into Skype because this question's on my other computer, but it looks neat. Thanks for your question. Thank you all for listening. I think we're done for this week. Aaron, how do you feel?
We're done for this week.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Aaron, I find you often run out of energy at some point by the end of these long recordings. Yeah.
9 hours out in the sun, dude.
Yeah. On the bright side, though, we got some listener questions out of the way. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get another 15.
Oh, boy. Here we go again.
It's all right. You guys really love your listener questions, you listeners out there, and I'm happy about that. Just we do have a whole lot. I once counted.
We need to rock a supplemental.
Yeah, I know. But, you know. This is a problem between
right after we do a book club.
Yeah, we're doing a weekly. We're doing a weekly prime time. We're getting a week off prime time, but we're going to be doing Dark of the Moon next week, most probably.
That's going to be heck.
And
I'll say it. That's going to be hell.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun, but it's going to be a huge amount of time, especially for me, because I want to do at least two of them. And you know, you guys will only be there for one, but I'm going to be there for two, most probably.
Then I have to go to my next viewing with a friggin' notepad.
Oh, I didn't even bother doing that because I was like, between having 3D glasses on and the darkness in the theater, I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to write anything down.
Just read the wiki when you get home.
Have they updated the wiki with a plot summary yet?
I haven't.
But the wiki doesn't give you gut feel on what you thought about X.
And the wiki has a, they have a period, they have a spoiler period of, non-disclosure, which I think is more than a week, but I'm not sure. I can't remember anymore.
Well, maybe even Wikipedia itself will have like bare bones plot.
Wikipedia itself usually at least enough of a summary to get the whole plot.
We can always hit up the movie forum and ask people for help, but they'll ignore us because we're not arguing with, like, that movie forum is moving hell of a fast right now, and no one really is, I don't know. There are people having good discussions in there, but, like, people are...
They're all talking at each other, not with each other.
Yeah, I mean, there are people talking with each other, but they are fewer and farther between than the people who are just talking at the space and then starting new topics and talking at the space, and I don't mind it that much. It's just, it's fun to watch. I forgot what the movie forum is like when it lights up from a movie actually coming out, and like this one has lit up, and just like before, like, you know, I go on Twitter and I see a whole lot of people crushing Dark of the Moon, smashing it around, bashing it, ripping it open, calling it horrible things. I go into the movie forum and I see a little bit of that, but then I see the other side of it too, which is people who are blindly defending parts of the movie that really shouldn't, you know, this.
Yeah,
you can't defend parts of the movie, just like you can't bash too hard parts. Like, you can't make a statement to me that I'm going to take seriously about how Jerry Wang as a character has ruined cinema for the year of 2011. At the same time, if you're going to make the case to me that Optimus Prime is not a little bit scarily violent in this movie, I'm going to go, like, I think maybe I don't want to encounter you in a dark alley if you're not going to call that scarily violent.
Yeah.
Because that's the big fight that's going on in the movie forum right now. Just like back when Revenge of the Fallen came out, some people are like, no, listen, it's cool. Optimus Prime's not actually violent, you know? I'm not going to say anything else, but, I mean, Omegas, you can imagine what I'm talking about here. Like, this is...
How many limbs get torn off?
This is movie Prime. Oh, dude. Like, yeah.
I don't even have to wonder about that one.
This is a post-Revenge of the Fallen movie Prime. So, you know, that argument's happening again, people trying to talk about how justified he may or may not have been in his violence, and it's kind of like, you know, don't tear it open that far. He is a crazy homicidal Optimus Prime, no matter what you're talking about. So, just ride that out.
Keep in mind, technically in the movieverse, he is a zombie now, so he is just all the more bloodthirsty.
Exactly, he's been dead once.
Yeah, at least.
That dying thing is really tipped the scales on him.
Yeah, it's I don't know, the movie forum. Aaron, what do you think of the movie forum?
I haven't been in there.
But you saw the movie.
Yeah.
You can go in there now.
No.
Oh, come on. It's so vindicating after all these months of, ever since the Amazon leak, trying not to get spoiled, just marching into the movie forum, just clicking random topics, going like, I can read anything in here. You know you want to. All right.
That's okay.
I'm just dragging this out farther because Aaron's
not
dying.
Your best salesman job there. No.
Omegas, tell me, are you going to do it when you get back from Dark of the Moon? Are you just going to march into the movie forum, like, fearlessly?
Just so I can say I can do it now.
Yeah, that's why I did it. I was like, all those topics.
Just say, you know what this movie needed? More Wang.
You know what? Omegas, do that. You don't know the context yet, but do that because people will yell at you. It's going to be great.
I could do it. I'll go in there and do that now when I don't, you know, even before I've seen the movie, know the context.
This movie needed some more. I haven't seen the movie yet, but this movie needs more Wang.
Hey, I've seen plenty of people review this movie who obviously haven't gone to see it. Why not?
I like that quote because it's very sadly true. That's going to be one of the things I talk about in the Dark of the Moon podcast. It set me off on Twitter, but I had a reaction from someone who reacted to something said by a somewhat reputable, and I say that somewhat sarcastic because they are reputable, print organization who left a point vague enough for someone to connect a few dots together and come to a conclusion that was really wrong. But given how it was presented, it's like, yeah, I could see a whole lot of people who didn't see the movie rallying behind this as a point. And if you haven't seen the movie, there are way better points to rally behind than a lot of the ones getting rallied behind. But you'll hear all about that in our Dark of the Moon podcasts coming up sometime soon. So until then, this has been Vangelis with Aaron, Lupus, and Omegas. We're heading out, ladies and gentlemen. Are you boys going to carry me, or do I got to walk?
Walk.
Definitely walk.
Yeah, see, you had that great weight loss program, and then you got off of it, and
I still feel pretty.
But you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.